The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
For more than a decade, he's been Philadelphia's destination for news, opinion, and passion.
I am a devoted listener every day, 3 hours, kids in the car, the whole thing.
Hey, good morning, Chris. Always love your show.
I just love your show. Just love it.
You know, the other side loves to cloak themselves in the blanket of freedom. They talk a good game, but they're not about freedom. It's not freedom when they get to dictate to the women of Pennsylvania how and when and under what terms they're going to start a family.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer and 990theanswer.com.
Did you know, Fast Eddie, did you know that Kathy Barnett was in Washington, D.C. on January 6th?
Yeah, I think she called some, I think she called this show, right?
I just laughed and laughed and laughed. This stuff keeps happening after our show concludes, and it bums me out. I wish this stuff would happen while, this is the only, I've spoken to you about this before. The only problem with having a morning show, I have done mornings most of my career. I strayed for a rare couple of years into afternoons, but for the most part, I have always started your day. And I love it, because I've always been of the mind that getting the first jump on the news of the day, getting the first crack at talking about things that are either breaking overnight or kind of new stuff that's bubbling up in the morning, or the, you know, sort of the first look at events that are going to unfold during the day. That's what I've always enjoyed most about this role, doing mornings. And it's, you know, it's the time of day people are getting ready to go. People are trying to kind of figure out the day. I've always loved the, I remember growing up as a kid, my parents getting ready, dad shaving, mom putting on the makeup, and there was the radio on in the background. And I thought that, I couldn't describe it as a kid, but now what I realize I was watching as a kid was intimacy. There's nothing cooler and more intimate about me lurking in the room while you're busily preparing for your day. Almost kind of creepy, actually, if you let it settle in. But don't. I'm trying to be romantic about it. My point is, I love doing the mornings. That said, every so often news bubbles up, you know, 10, 11, noon, middle of the day, afternoons on your drive home, and I go, oh, I want to be, and by the time I get to it in the morning, other people have taken a shot at it. This was such an event yesterday when the news broke and the video started surfacing. I'm doing some post-show stuff. It literally happened, I think, within an hour or two of the show wrapping up yesterday. I'm going through some paperwork at the office. I'm monitoring the cables, as I always do. And I look up and I see MSNBC, and they've got crowd footage, surveillance, like almost like random cell phone or video footage of January 6th, and they've got this highlighted little bubble over this random person's face. And they're kind of zooming in on this grainy video. And at first I kind of go, oh, what is MSNBC doing now about January 6th? What weird cockamamie thing have they cooked up about January 6th? And then they zoom in a little tighter, and they zoom in a little tighter, and I see this blackface. No, not someone in blackface. I see an actual black face. And I look at it a little harder, and I look at it, I say, oh my gosh, that's Kathy Barnett they're talking about. So I run over, and I grab the remote, and I turn it up, because I watch all this stuff on mute. I certainly don't listen to it. I'm just monitoring it. I turn it up, and that's what they're talking about over there. We've obtained this footage from January 6th. Look here. See here. Senate candidate and surging potential frontrunner in tomorrow's Pennsylvania primary, Kathy Barnett, in the streets, marching to the Capitol on Insurrection Day. Kathy Barnett, insurrectionist. We caught her. Here's footage of her live in the crowd. Now, the only pictures that I've seen, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not watching this stuff night and day, believe it or not, but correct me if I'm wrong, the only thing I've seen is a photo of her walking in a street. Do they have any photos or video of Kathy Barnett trying to break down a door or break into the Capitol building? Have we seen anything about Kathy Barnett anywhere near the Capitol dome, the steps? Is she, I mean, if you've seen it, then please let me know. But I have not seen that. I've only seen her in the street amongst people walking. Fast Eddie, have you seen it?
No, but I know that I'm sure the Fetterman campaign's working to superimpose her, you know, video image walking through the Capitol. That's coming later if she wins, you know what I mean?
Oh, sure, they'll try to creatively assign something to her. But no, the point is, of course, this is what's so funny. It's like to hear people say, where did this... I just did an interview with my friend Larry O'Connor down the road there in Washington, D.C. before the show started here. Who is this Kathy Barnett? Do you know how much media, how many interviews I've done with people around the country asking me, who is this? Let's go live to Pennsylvania and talk to Chris Stegall, talk show host, to tell us he's there on the ground. What's going on in Pennsylvania? Who is this Kathy Barnett? And it's hard for me to take it seriously because I want to say, and I guess I would be guilty of the same thing. You know, there's a primary in Idaho today. I don't know who the hell the Idaho primary candidates are. No idea. But if somebody, I don't know, started, look, here, do you know who's running in any primary today besides this one?
Personally, no.
Of course you don't. However, what if in Idaho, Judge Judy were running for a Senate seat? Do you think we'd hear about it?
Oh, I'd know about that.
Yeah, do you think that there would be coverage of Judge Judy in a Senate primary debate in Idaho?
Yes.
Yes, the answer is yes, there would be. Judge Judy is a media star. She's a highly popular, well-watched, syndicated television star. And no matter what you think of Judge Judy, if she were running for the United States Senate in Idaho, you and I would hear about it. And I could pay you $1,000 right now to name anybody in Idaho, and you couldn't do it. Because nobody's paying attention to Idaho. But Judge Judy running in Idaho would make us all pay attention. And then I want you to imagine this. We're all very interested. Can Judge Judy become the Republican Senate nominee in Idaho? Let's watch and find out. And while we're watching Judge Judy on a debate stage, because we think that'll be highly entertaining, this impressive person who shares the debate stage with her blows our minds. A fiery black lady who speaks with conservative conviction and seems to really be taking it to Judge Judy. The name we all know. Now, what would we do as observers? We don't know anybody in Idaho. The reason we're paying attention to the Idaho debate stage is because Judge Judy's on it. And then all of a sudden, who the? Now, Fast Eddie, If the next morning after an Idaho debate where we were all watching to see how Judge Judy performed, because the whole nation knows who she is, and on that debate stage, somebody just really exploded onto the scene and made mincemeat of Judge Judy in a debate. Would it be likely that your host would message you or text you or email you or talk to you on the air the next day and say, hey, we got to get that fiery lady on the debate stage with Judge Judy that everybody's talking about this morning. We should see if we can find her. She put on an impressive show. We'd probably do that, wouldn't we?
Yes. You would ask. You'd send the info and be like, all right, this is the person. And then we'd get another 40 emails about the clip of her ripping Judge Judy.
And so all of a sudden, we'd be talking about this person in Idaho. And this person would be a star. And this person would go on all the national shows. And Laura Ingraham would have this person on the show. And Glenn Beck would have this person on the show. And all of a sudden, this person's followers would go through the roof. And I would have this person on my show here in Philadelphia and say, hey, what a performance you gave against Judge Judy. What's the deal with you? Wow, where did you come from? You're impressive. And this woman says, well, I mean, I've been running for 13 months. I mean, I'd feel like a dope. I mean, I'd be forgiven because we're not paying attention to Idaho politics. But folks, that's exactly what happened. That's the story of Kathy Barnett. And that's what's so frustrating to me is people are acting like she just showed up. I just got a question this morning. Don't misunderstand. I'm not being disrespectful or picking on anybody. Somebody said to me today, hey, Trump endorsed Oz, right? I said, yeah. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I shouldn't have buried the lead. The former president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, is appearing on this show today at 8:20. One last push for his chosen candidate, Dr. Oz. I presume he's not here to just chat.
I don't know if you'll be talking Alec Baldwin today, Chris. Sorry.
So, someone asked me today, just today, hey, you know, he endorsed Oz. Do you think he regrets that now that Kathy Barnett's gotten in the race? And I said, no, Kathy Barnett's always been in the race. Kathy Barnett was in the race arguably before Dr. Oz. And this person couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. Conservative. And said to me, wait a minute. Kathy Barnett's been running all along before Dr. Oz, and Trump endorsed Oz. Why? All right, Fast Eddie, how do you answer that? If somebody asks you, why did Donald Trump endorse Dr. Oz? How would you answer it? I'm not looking for a right answer here. I'm just asking, how would you explain it?
If it were me, I would say probably that he has the highest name ID, and he's done very well endorsing in this election. So I think he wants his winning streak to continue. So he endorsed the person he thinks that could win.
You think Donald Trump endorsed Dr. Oz cynically and only because he has high name ID and would be a winner, and Trump likes the credit for picking winning horses?
Yes.
All right. Now, I would give the former president a little more credit than that. Here's what I would say. All those things Eddie just said are true, but it's to an end. It's for a reason. And the reason is he's going to run for president again. And he desperately knows Pennsylvania is critically important to win. And he believes that a guy on the campaign trail like Dr. Oz will be most helpful to him. He believes that Dr. Oz will be a secret weapon in winning Pennsylvania in 2024. Does that sound plausible?
Yes, it does.
And I'm sincere. That is my explanation to people. That's why people say, why did he, how could he, what would he? I think they're friends. I think that's not insignificant. I don't have any reason to think Trump, I mean, he'll be here to explain himself today. I don't think have any reason to think he doesn't believe that Oz is the real deal. I've since heard that Oz's wife and the former first lady, Melania Trump, are friends. I don't know if that's true or not. I can't confirm it. I don't know. But anyway, they're family friends. He has a place in Florida. Whatever. So they're friends, and that can't be discounted. But Oz is a television star. So why didn't he pick Kathy Barnett? Because Kathy Barnett, let's be fair, let's be honest, let's be truthful. Kathy Barnett was not trending at any point in this race until really the last month. Now, she always believed, I'm not diminishing her, I'm not insulting her, but according to all the mainstream media and according to all the polls, according to everybody's conventional wisdom, Kathy Barnett was not a factor. There were only two names in this race from the very beginning. Oz and McCormick. And we would talk about it on this show that there were only two people that the media was talking about because they spent tens of millions of dollars attacking one another and acting like the rest of the field. Jeff Bartos, Carla Sands, Kathy Barnett, George Baquetto. They acted like they weren't even there. And they were all spending money to the extent that they could raise it advertising, trying to get their message out. They all came on the show. But the national media decided that there were just two people worth talking about and paying attention to, Oz and McCormick. So here we are today. Now, what about Dave McCormick? He'll be here today, by the way. So will Dr. Oz. Folks, this is going to be, I mean, buckle in, because this is going to be quite a day. Bill McSwain, running for governor here in Pennsylvania. It's primary day. Bill McSwain will be with us today. Jeff Bartos, running for Senate, will be with us today. Dave McCormick and Dr. Oz, also running for Senate, will be with us today. President Trump at 8:20. And if there's time, the guy Donald Trump endorsed for governor, Doug Mastriano, will be with us today at 8:40. Fascinatingly, the guy Donald Trump endorsed for governor does not endorse Dr. Oz. He endorses Kathy Barnett. That might come up during my conversation with Donald Trump today. I don't know. We're not going to have a ton of time with the president today. he's making a quick stop here, and we know the president. God bless him. If I get one good question in, it may take the entirety of the interview for him to answer it. I'm not sure. I don't like to be disrespectful to the former president, so wherever he goes, he goes. So I'm just saying preemptively now, I don't want a bunch of emails going, I can't believe you didn't press the president. I'm not going to shout at Donald Trump about Kathy Barnett. I'm not doing it, so don't send me your hate mail about it later. Got it? I'm not doing it. President Trump is coming here very specifically to talk to us about Dr. Oz and maybe Mastriano if there's time. Like, let's just all understand that, okay? There's no reason to beat around the bush about it. That's why he's coming here. He wants to convince you that Oz is great. So, me arguing with Donald Trump to change his mind that Kathy Barnett is someone he should consider, do you think that's going to work out?
No, please don't.
And, you know, lost in all this, by the way, totally lost in this whole thing, is Dave McCormick, who I'm just going to make a kind of a wild observation here. It's not a prediction, but it's a sincere possibility, and I believe it. Here's what I think could possibly happen. I think possibly there's a lot of people out there that are undecided entirely today as they go vote and the polls open. There are people who are soft supporters of both Oz and Barnett, meaning they're thinking they're going to vote for them today, but they could change their mind. Never mind the entrenched. Never mind the entrenched. Okay, I'm setting aside the I'm all Oz, all in. I'm all Barnett, all in. Setting those people aside, I think there are lots and lots of undecideds and lots of people who could change their mind today. And do you know who those people? That's a lot of people, folks. And in a three-way Senate tie, do you know who benefits from all those people that I just described? A guy called Dave McCormick. Or perhaps, look, quite frankly, I don't want to dismiss anybody else. I'm just saying, according to conventional wisdom and the polling, these are the three, Oz, McCormick, Barnett, that are in a tie leading the pack. And according to polls, the others trail. Now, I'm not suggesting that none of them could pull it out or surprise us or whatever. Maybe they could. All you need is a plurality. So if for some reason here today the vote just scatters or splinters terribly, you could see, I guess, anybody surge, theoretically. But if it holds that these three people are in this statistical tie, I could easily see a path for Dave McCormick today. It would not surprise me in the least to wake up tomorrow and tell you that the guy that Pennsylvania Republicans have chosen to take on John Fetterman is Dave McCormick. It would make total sense to me if it happened. I would understand it entirely. And it would make total sense to me if I found out that Kathy Barnett is who's going to take on John Fetterman. It would make total sense to me if Dr. Oz was the winner tomorrow morning. I would understand how any one of those three happened. And I will tell you this, tomorrow, whoever it is, I can't wait to start talking about taking on John Fetterman. And I will. I mean, if anything interesting, you know, development-wise happens today or into tonight or anything crazy with the vote count or whatever, of course we're going to talk about it tomorrow. But as far as I'm concerned, this is it. After today, we talk about how we defeat Josh Shapiro and John Fetterman. I'm not relitigating whether Oz or Barnett or McCormick are the best, or Mastriano really screwed Barletta, or McSwain should have been. I'm not doing it. Eddie?
To Chris, I am 110% with you. I
am not doing these rearview mirror shows about how Republican X got screwed tomorrow. I'm not doing it. This is a fair fight. It's a food fight. Politics ain't beanbag. Somebody's got to win. And tomorrow morning, we're going to have our winners. And that's all I'm talking about, our winners. Deal?
Yep. No argument for me, man. I want to win. We have to win. This is... Just because PA Republicans have completely screwed up the whole like governor's race and now they're all complaining about it. Just like, no, we're done. We're done talking about all that. Shapiro must be defeated. Must be.
You mean this story from Holly Otterbein at Politico? GOP blame game erupts in Pennsylvania's governor's race?
Yeah.
With far-right state senate Doug Mastriano candidate on the verge of capturing the Pennsylvania GOP gubernatorial nomination, Republicans are lashing out, furious. He could cost them a shot at a competitive race in the perennial swing state. Last-ditch efforts to stop Mastriano seem doomed from the start. But the final blow likely came Saturday when former President Trump threw his support behind Mastriano, who has been one of the chief boosters of conspiracy theories about the 2020 election. At this point, Lawrence needs to own it, says the Cambria County Republican Party chairman. Even before Election Day, some Republicans in the state pointing fingers over Mastriano's expected win, specifically singling out state party chair Lawrence Tabas. They argue he should have encouraged the party to endorse a gubernatorial candidate, muscled out low polling contenders, or pushed the GOP to unite behind an alternative to Mastriano. And so now you've got all these Republican Party chairs shooting at the state Republican chair, Tabas, saying he screwed up. The party should have endorsed, they should have endorsed early, and they should have tried to muscle anybody else out of the way, including Mastriano. But because the state Republican Party didn't pick a horse, look at the mess. So in other words, you got a bunch of party apparatchiks who have decided that the party chair needs to flex his muscle and pick a horse. And when you idiots are left to your own devices to choose who you want, look what happens, says this Republican Party official in this story. They are so irritated with you. I always find it interesting that the voters, the primary voters, want someone. And do you know how many people, folks, friends of mine, on the record, off the record, media people, do you know how many times in the last days people have told me who can and can't win this race? I've had about all I can stomach of people telling me who can win and who can't win and who won't win and who's a long shot at. Who the hell are you to say? Have we not learned anything about political long shots? We've got one coming up. We call him president. I am so tired of these party officials and these conventional wisdom media types telling me that Pennsylvania primary voters have got it wrong. They're about to make a terrible mess. That includes hairdo cable news anchors. Admonishing their viewers. I can't believe what you people in Pennsylvania are about to do. What the hell are you thinking? You gotta pick the conventional candidate who's gonna win. Your candidate can't win. I can't believe what I'm seeing, this data that says so-and-so is surging. What the hell's wrong with you? I can't believe that there are people out of state who would take to their television shows or go on cable news shows or radio shows. I can't believe there are people that would dare use these platforms to scold Pennsylvania primary voters for having a feeling about certain candidates and supporting them, and then daring to tell them why they can't win. That is the most audacious position I've ever heard. This "I declare who can win and who can't" business. Shut up. You're not a clairvoyant. See? CNN. Barnett said she was leading buses to D.C. for our 1776 moment on January 6th, 2021. She literally called this show, folks. She quite literally called us on the bus ride there. And in fact, if memory serves, did she not call us on the ride back? Did we talk to her again, or am I misremembering that? Maybe we didn't talk to her again. I know we talked to other people who were there that day. Again, I want to be clear. Your vote is yours, whoever you pick today. You pick Oz, you pick McCormick, you pick Bartos, you pick Sands, you pick Kathy. I'm not trying to talk you into or out of anything. This dishonesty, though. I mean, I realize TuneIn is high. There are people that don't typically listen to this show that don't know or certainly weren't paying attention to January 6th and the fact that Kathy Barnett called into the show and was quite literally leading cheering buses of people to D.C. that morning of January 6th. I remember it vividly. But it's disingenuous that this stuff surfaces and, look what they've uncovered. Uncovered anything? I could have told you that. Now, again, if you think that's disqualifying, look, if you weren't impressed with Kathy Barnett over the last 2 years we've talked to her, that's okay. I'll hear that. You can go, you know what? I've listened to her talk to you for 2 years, Stigall. I've never liked her. Okay. But let's not act like she just got here from Venus or something. So irritating. She can't win. Well, apparently there are a lot of people, according to polls, that see it otherwise. Now, is that Kathy Barnett's fault? Is that the Republican Party's fault? I don't know. Is that the fault of the Oz campaign or the McCormick campaign? I don't know. However you want to see it. But this idea that you're mad at Mastriano, or you're mad at Barnett because they seem to be surging, you're mad at them? That's insane. If you want to be mad at somebody, if that makes you mad, then you're going to have to be mad at the people running against them, don't you? Logically? I don't know how else to see it. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, the people at the merchandise store have been working overtime, and I want to mention to you quickly, just in time for the fall, well, really just in time for summer, we have launched a brand new product line, Ultra MAGA. In homage to Joe Biden, we now have, Fast Eddie, you can take a look. I put up some of the photos, and the link is at Facebook right now. I just put it up. Our new Ultra MAGA product line. Koozie, hats, shirts, just in time for the summer season, if you'd like to display your Ultra MAGA pride. We have a few things to choose from at the merchandise store. Go to chrisstigall.com, or you can look at the link, which is directly linked right now at Facebook. I think you'll enjoy it. The hats are particularly good looking. Trucker style snapback hats in red, white, and blue, or camo. Ultra MAGA. I think you'll enjoy it. They did a nice job. So check that out this morning. Just have a little fun with it. You know, on the ballot today, and it's certainly the governor's race and the Senate race have swallowed up a lot of the oxygen in the room, as you know. You also have to choose today, if you're a Republican, your favorite candidate for lieutenant governor. Jeff Coleman is one of those candidates, and he joins us this morning. And Mr. Coleman, glad to have you on. You reached out to the show and wanted to spend some time with the audience today. I'm glad that you did. Welcome to primary day, election day. I know you've been out there running for a while now, but for folks that have not met you yet or had the chance to hear much about your candidacy, let's do it now. Welcome.
Well, good morning, Chris. I have maybe a little bit of an unusual path to politics. I'm a pastor's kid, grew up in the mission field in Southeast Asia. My mom is Filipino, and we came back in the late 1980s to a little and rusted out steel town of Apollo, Pennsylvania. Went to Liberty University, and then afterwards came back, challenged an incumbent in a district that was nearly 70% Democrat, ran a positive campaign, did not in any way attack the opponent, contrasted on issues, but stayed respectful and stayed within the bounds of civility. And the folks in Armstrong and Indiana County gave me that chance. Retired after two terms, went to work for Commonwealth Foundation as their vice president, and started Churchill Strategies, which is a branding and communication firm that serves really the range of conservative, free market, pro-growth, pro-family organizations in Pennsylvania. So everything from Commonwealth Foundation to Pennsylvania Family Institute and all of our friends. And got into this race for lieutenant governor really because of the decline in our ability to debate issues and the inability that we have to be self-restrained, I think, in the public debate, particularly people who identify like I do as a Christian. I think there's a completely different set of obligations that we have to check our sarcasm, check our name calling, check the F Trump, F Biden banners hanging from our front porches, and really consider what does it mean to be in this moment and what do we bring, positive or negative, to the political process. I want to win on issues, but I don't want it to do it in a way that destroys people that we say, because we're pro-life, are made in the image of God.
And Jeff, Lieutenant Governor is something that, frankly, is not as sexy. I get it. It doesn't really get all the attention and the conversation and the headlines that Senate and Governor do, but what should people know about the office and why you're running and why specifically you think it important that you run for lieutenant governor?
Yeah, well, Chris, there are two constitutional responsibilities associated with the lieutenant governor's office. One is kind of from our Quaker tradition. It's the Board of Pardons, and it's the notion that we believe as a society that there should be, if there's remorse and restitution and maybe a family and church structure outside after people have paid their debt to society, that maybe under certain circumstances there should be the ability to get a clean slate. It's kind of the B side to our enforce the law, be tough, go to jail if you break the law. And it is the compassionate, redemptive side of corrections. And a lot of folks have gotten that. The Trump administration was very bold on corrections reform. So was Governor Corbett, and even a bit under Governor Wolf. The second piece is the one I'm most excited about, which is to be president of the Senate. And this is where I think you could have, if you had one legislature, one legislative body in the entire country that functioned, you could bring Roe v. Wade back to the states and have a debate, hot, researched, Republicans, Democrats, pro-choice, pro-life, bringing their A game. And we had a multi-week debate where one side didn't get on a bus and leave the state. And we passed with something close to a consensus or something close to a bill that the public said, at least, you know, we lost, but we passed the life amendment with a consensus and we persuaded people. I think that would be a win. Same thing on school choice, same thing on the taxpayer protection amendment, all of the things we've been fighting for in Pennsylvania for 30 or 40 years in some cases. There's some checkbox duties. Like, I oversee the fire commissioner in Pennsylvania as lieutenant governor. We've got a significant crisis in volunteerism. There's a cultural trend, I think, in volunteerism that's been pretty negative. But we had 300,000 volunteer firemen in the 1970s when I was born. We're bottoming out at about 30,000. That's a huge cultural change in Pennsylvania, and it's got a big impact if you're a small community like Apollo, where I grew up, that just cannot sustain a professional fire service. There's a local government commission. You oversee the bases, a commission in Pennsylvania. And then finally, the big one in that category is Pima. If anyone's watching the Three Mile Island Netflix series, you saw in 1978 a functioning conservative administration in Thornburg and Scranton. That's when we passed welfare reform, reduced government, reduced taxes, but did it with no drama. I mean, I think we're just at the point of saying, does everything in politics have to be summed up in a 30-second negative hit ad? Does everything have to be, you know, do we? Is this as good as it gets when it comes to politics? Looking back at that era, we can do big things, but we don't have to be braggadocious. We can be humble. We can deliver an agenda in a way that people can respect the outcome. And that's why I'm running. So that's a lot, but the lieutenant governor's job is kind of the invisible partner to the governor. And when it doesn't work, you certainly know about it.
Well, Jeff, you sound like a very fine man and a patriot and very, very clear on what the job entails. You've explained it well. If people would like to take a good look at you before they cast their vote today, where would you direct them to go?
Well, Chris, I would love for them to visit Coleman4FORPA.com. And there's just a little six-minute video there that kind of unpacks my heart for the job and why I'd love to serve. Whoever emerges at the top of the ticket, they're going to have a partner who is there to pass their agenda and not to make my own agenda. So thank
you
for having
me. I assume you've thought about who you'll vote for governor today. You're casting your own ballot.
I have, and there's several people I like. I haven't endorsed anyone, and I've just been careful to set the tone right that whoever I vote for or don't vote for knows that I'm going to be a full partner.
Well, Mr. Coleman, good luck to you. I appreciate your time today and reaching out to the audience. Good luck.
Thank you, Chris, very much. Have a great day.
You bet. That's Jeff Coleman, Coleman4PA.com, running for lieutenant governor. Still to come, he's running for governor. He brought in more money in one single month than any of them, including Doug Mastriano. That's Bill McSwain. He's next. Jeff Bartow still to come. Dave McCormick, Mehmet Oz, all three running for the Senate. Donald Trump would like a word with you at 8:20 today. And Doug Mastriano will also be stopping by. It's primary day, folks. Wow.
Hey, it's Sebastian Gorka. Join me this afternoon at 3. Now, more on Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGar.
I never mean any disrespect to anybody else when I say this. I know everybody's running a passionate campaign and everybody's talking all about the Senate race, but I mean it when I tell you the next governor of Pennsylvania matters more to me than anybody else. Because the next governor of Pennsylvania determines a lot. We've seen what an out-of-control governor of Pennsylvania can do when the proverbial excrement hits the fan in Tom Wolf. Well, who will the next governor be? Bill McSwain would like to be the next governor of Pennsylvania. He's running as a Republican today. He's on your ballot. It's primary day. And Mr. McSwain, welcome back. Thanks for your time this morning.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me.
I read that you pulled in a massive fundraising haul in the month of April, bigger than any other campaign in the race. What does that say?
Well, I think it says that I have the best message and people are resonating to it. I'm excited about Election Day. I'm already out at the polls in Chester County. I hope people come out to vote today. I'm asking for their vote. I need their vote. And it's an exciting day.
Are you, I think we've talked about this before, are you concerned, bummed out, bothered, frustrated at the role that former President Trump has played in this race and that he took a shot at you early and then kind of didn't really say anything else about the governor's race and then this weekend endorsed Mastriano? I don't know what, how do you assess your relationship with the former president at this point and his role in this race?
Well, Chris, I'm proud of the job that I did as U.S. attorney. I was proud to serve in that position, and he appointed me to that and trusted me with a very important job looking out for public safety. And now I'm just focused on Election Day and focused on people getting out to vote. And I'm a unique candidate in the sense that I'm the only conservative outsider in the race. I am not a politician. I'm a U.S. Marine. I'm a prosecutor. I'm a U.S. attorney appointed by President Trump. And my opponents are all politicians, and we need change in Harrisburg. And the only way we're going to get that is if we send a conservative outsider to Harrisburg to shake things up and make the hard decisions that are going to get our state back on track.
I think people are assessing the debate with Josh Shapiro down the road because the debate will come. He's sitting on a pile of cash. He has not really had to spend it, and he just sits and he waits. And he will be formidable. Do you feel very confident in taking on a Josh Shapiro on the debate stage this fall?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm the candidate to go up and defeat Josh Shapiro, to go up against him. We have to create a contrast, first of all, and he's a career politician. He has always been climbing the political ladder. Again, I'm the conservative outsider. So that's a tremendous advantage that we would have going up against him in the fall. I'm just going to be throwing that away if I'm not the nominee. I'm a conservative. He's a liberal. I love freedom and individual rights. He loves government mandates and government control and bigger government. I'm a real prosecutor who's dedicated my life to public safety. He's a fake prosecutor. He's never prosecuted a case in his life and has always put his own political needs above the people that he's supposed to serve. I'm a U.S. Marine. He's not. There's lots of contrast between Josh Shapiro and me, and I'm exactly the right candidate to go up against him.
What have you been hearing is the, I've asked you this before, the number one issue voters have said overwhelmingly more than any other. Is there one or two that consistently come to mind that you know you want to tackle on voters' behalf if you become the next governor?
There's a lot of things that are wrong with our state right now, Chris. We have to get our economy moving. We have to have public safety. We have to have education reform. We have to have electoral reform and election integrity. But I would say it all comes under the umbrella of protecting people's freedoms and their individual rights. Our freedoms and our individual rights are under assault. I have spent my career fighting for individual rights, fighting for freedom, fighting for constitutional rights. And I think that is the thing that people are most concerned about. And the only way we're going to get our freedoms back is by voting for a conservative outsider to go to Harrisburg, like me, and again, get our state on the right track.
Bill McSwain is running for governor, and he's on your ballot, Republicans, today. BillMcSwain.com is the website, former U.S. attorney here in the Southeast. Bill, are you frustrated with the GOP? I read the story in Politico that there's a lot of party infighting. They're angry that the party, the statewide, did not endorse a candidate. Do you wish they had? Should they have?
I think it's fine to let the voters decide, Chris. That's what our Democratic system is all about. And I also think that this sort of last-minute insider trading among career politicians endorsing each other is something that voters are frustrated with and they don't like, and they want something different. They want an outsider to be our governor. They want an outsider who's only going to serve them and not serve the political interests and not be just climbing the ladder from one job in Harrisburg to the next. So in that sense, I'm very happy that we're now at Election Day. Now is crunch time. So people need to come out to vote. And if they want the kind of change that is necessary and that they deserve, they need to vote for Bill McSwain, the conservative outsider.
I assume that you will be voting for a Senate candidate of choice today. Would you care to share who that is?
I will be voting for all of the races, but I'll have more to say about that after Election Day.
Okay. I'll be fascinated to hear who you ultimately landed on. Bill McSwain, on your ballot, Republicans, as a gubernatorial choice today. Thanks for your time. Good luck today, Bill.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate it. Take care.
You bet. There he is, former U.S. attorney here in the Southeast. BillMcSwain.com is the website. Still to come today, Jeff Bartos will be on the show, Dave McCormick, Dr. Mehmet Oz, the 45th president of the United States. Not a bad booking. Donald Trump will be with us at 8:20 today. And rounding out the show, we expect to hear from a McSwain competitor and the guy that polls say is leading this race right now, Doug Mastriano, is scheduled to be with us at 8:40. Now, of course, all of these things could violently change as the morning rolls on. We know, it's particularly with the big guy down there in Mar-a-Lago. Who knows if that thing happens on time or not? We shall see. But anyway, that's the show we have slated for you today, and lots still to come. So 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990, if you care to weigh in. Always like to hear what you're seeing, how you're voting today. Love to take your temperature. And the new Ultra MAGA merchandise, available now at chrisstegall.com, or check out the link. It's at my Facebook page right now. New hats, new shirts, even a koozie.
This is WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer. A Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. For more than a decade, he's been your destination for news, opinion, and passion.
Good morning, Chris. You are a godsend to the listening communities that you serve with that voice of yours.
I turn to you just like I turn to Rush.
I'm a fan of Chris DeGaulle.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
So Somebody tweeted at me and said, well, Chris, now that I've heard on your show that Kathy Barnett was in the Capitol on January 6th, I now know she will be my vote on this election day and hopefully in November. I said, well, easy, easy, easy. She wasn't in the Capitol. There's a distinction to be made. She was... All the media reports are, look, look, we've spotted Kathy Barnett in the crowd in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. That's true. She was there. She didn't storm the Capitol building. She didn't go in the building. She was just there as part of the rally, as hundreds of thousands of other people were, too. She called the show. She was on the bus that morning. But, you know, this is something that national news media finds extraordinary and exceptional. There's been a lot of national media attention on the Senate race because it has tightened so. Kathy has gotten a lot of attention because she's the one that people were probably least talking about. And now it seems, according to polls, a lot of people are. And as such, she's surging at a time that the preferred candidate of Donald Trump, who will join us today at 8:20, that's Dr. Oz, is feeling the heat from Kathy Barnett in particular. And so they're lobbing a lot of missiles at her, among them this January 6th business. And one wonders, you know, if a guy like Jeff Bartos, who has been running steadily all along, I mean, he's been in this race maybe the longest, certainly one of the longest guys campaigning in this thing, longest tenured in this campaign for Senate, crisscrossing the Commonwealth, working hard to earn your vote. He's on the ballot. And look, there's a lot of undecideds out there. That's the thing. I think there's a lot of soft support for a lot of these candidates, and I think there's a lot of undecideds. As such, I have a very funny feeling we could wake up tomorrow and conventional wisdom could be blown out of the water in any direction. So, Jeff Bartos, welcome back to the show. It's Election Day. Good morning.
Chris, it's really a pleasure to be here this morning. I am always grateful for the opportunity, in particular, as we sit here on primary day, starting out, polls open 7 minutes ago. You have been an amazing advocate, not for any one of us, but for the conservative cause and how much this means to Pennsylvania. So it's great to join you this morning. And, of course, the best to you, your family, and all your listeners.
Likewise, Jeff. We're glad you're healthy, too. I know that during this time you had a bit of a health scare. And my apologies the last time we talked. I didn't know that. But this is a grueling schedule you've kept anyway. And to have that thrown in the mix, I'm sure, was stressful. But I also wonder, that probably puts a lot in priority, too, for you, doesn't it? Keeps in mind what's first.
Yeah, it's interesting. I listen to my wife, which is very smart to do and very good advice. We're married 25 years this November, and Cheryl said, you need to go see an ENT, and one thing led to another. Look, I'll just talk about it briefly. If a doctor says you have this nodule on your thyroid, go get it checked out, and I did, and one thing led to another, and the surgeon said it needs to come out. And Chris, you'll laugh. My first question to her was, can it wait till November? Now, how's that for optimism, right? This was in February. And she said, no, but and I said, okay. And, I bet on myself, and I knew there was a good shot I could have the surgery and come back. And sure enough, 5 days, had the thyroid out on April 20th. And on April 25th, I was on that debate stage for the statewide televised debate with all the top candidates. And, I think did just fine that day. I think some would tell you I won that debate, but I'll leave that to the pundits. I just know got out there and brought the fight. And you're very kind to mention that. And I feel great. We were, good. Goodness gracious, we were in Clearfield, Johnstown, and Reading, my hometown of Reading, finishing up the last rally in where it all started for me 5 years ago when I decided to run for something. And that was very emotional. I will admit to crying a little, tears of gratitude and joy as we finished up that rally in my hometown of Reading last night.
I don't know what it is to run. I know it's extremely difficult. And I know you're not here to whine. You wouldn't whine about it. You knew what you were getting into. It's just grueling. I mean, you've committed at least a couple of years of your life to it. It's a long slog, and anything can happen. And you and I have talked a lot about people who entered this race who had tons and tons and tons of dough and spent it. And as such, their name ID went surging to the top. I don't know. Are you frustrated by that? Are you cynical? Are you ticked off? Do you feel very much in the fight? How do you assess what's going on here since these big names with big money entered the race?
I think you hit the point at the top of the show perfectly. I think so. Winston Churchill famously said, trust the people. Now that, he said a lot of amazing and brilliant and memorable things. But for me, I have come back to that again and again and again over the last, 15, 16 months since we formally launched the campaign. I trust my fellow Pennsylvanians. The whole campaign has been focused on saving Main Street Pennsylvania and bringing Pennsylvanians together with this very overriding notion that we don't need a government to take care of us. We are here. We are made in God's image, and we're here to look after each other, to take care of each other. And the last thing we need is a government to take care of us. And for me, the 30-day fund, which you've covered great right from the beginning 2 years ago, that was the living embodiment of how I see the world. And that's my core conservative value, that we are here to look after each other and that the government gets in the way and we can do this better. And so with humility, which, gosh, isn't that lacking in public life, with humility and with authenticity and with a deep love for the Commonwealth, I would have to tell you, I'm not frustrated, not even 1%. I said this in Reading last night, not to paraphrase Lou Gehrig, but I feel like the luckiest guy in the world. I really do. We've had an amazing team. Chris, we've knocked on or called over 150,000 people in the lead up to this primary today. We have a grassroots army and a grassroots infrastructure that no other campaign has. We've signed all over the Commonwealth. We've got great energy. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said voters are moving all over the place. They're looking for authenticity. They're looking for a Pennsylvanian. And it's one of the reasons you've seen Kathy surge. And it's one of the reasons we're going to do much better than the pundits said. And I think you're right. I think we wake up tomorrow morning and people who are moving all over the place land on Jeff Bartos because they're like, he's a Pennsylvanian, lived here his whole life. He's doing it for all the right reasons. I love his conservative message. It's practical. It's common sense. It's authentic. It's from the heart. And by the way, this is a guy who, I'm going to clean it up, get stuff done. I think we may have said something different when we launched the campaign, but this is a family show. So I'm going to say, get stuff done.
I like it. FCC compliant.
Yeah. Authenticity, humility, and really sleeves rolled up, getting it done for the people of Pennsylvania. That's what the campaign's been about. So no, not only am I not frustrated, I'm filled with gratitude and a lot of love and a lot of excitement for what today is going to bring.
I haven't asked you this before. I'm just curious if you'd share it. Are you voting for governor today? And if so, for whom are you voting?
Well, so I'm going to defer on that question. I actually only...
It's none of our business. So I'm just curious.
No, I am voting for governor, as are Cheryl and the girls. And, you know, the thing is, there's so many of them are my friends. I mean, Charlie Giroux is a longtime friend. Bill McSwain is a longtime friend. Lou Barletta is a longtime friend. Dave White has run a great campaign. Nietzsche Zama is one of the smartest men I've ever met. Like, we have so many good candidates running. And gosh, I spent so much time making the case for me in the Senate race and my friend Clarice Schillinger in the LG race because, you know, I know you've covered what Clarice did to help open schools and get conservative school board members elected to keep schools open. I think that work that we did to save small businesses and the work that Clarice did to keep schools open and open schools, we here in the Southeast should be really proud that those efforts were started and led from here.
Jeff Bartos, let me ask you this. You're running for Senate today. Do you believe there are people on the Republicans' ballot as they head to the polls this morning? Are there people that you believe could lose to... And by lose, I don't mean, of course they can lose. I mean, there are lots of things that could happen. But I'm saying, you look at, are there certain candidates for Senate or for governor, in your view, you don't have to name them, but are there people that you believe, if these people win the primary today, they will lose in the general to Fetterman and Shapiro?
You know, it's interesting. I listen to all that, and I understand the narrative out there. The short answer, if I'm going to keep with what this campaign's been about from the beginning, humility. It's a wise man who knows what he doesn't know. And I'm serious when I say this. My powers of prediction are completely shot. I mean, I look back on the last 6-7 years and go, I didn't see Donald Trump coming. I didn't see a worldwide pandemic. I didn't see the best economy in our lifetime. I didn't see a shutdown. Who would have seen what we've seen over the last 6 or 7 years? So I think when we look forward to November, I think kind of big picture, it's going to be a great year for Republicans. I do believe... I mean, and I do mean what I'm about to say with 100% sincerity. I am the best candidate to beat Fetterman, not because I'm so wonderful, but because Fetterman took a bulldozer to Main Street during the pandemic. And I spent the pandemic lifting up Main Street and trying to rally people successfully to save Main Street small businesses and, by extension, thousands of jobs for working families. So I think the narrative there for John I think 100 out of 100 times, 1,000 out of 1,000 times, John can't beat me. Can John beat other Republicans? Of course he can. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to beat him 7 out of 10 or 5 out of 10. I'd have to really study that, and we'll see how that all shakes down. But I think it's important for our voters today to go to the polls knowing it's going to be a great year for Republicans. And they ought to at least think, and I think pretty hard about who's the best to beat Fetterman. And I would submit, again, humbly, that that's me. And in the governor's race, they have to study that. Who do you think matches up best?
I just asked Bill McSwain last hour, Jeff, sorry to interrupt you, if he was disappointed that there's a story in Politico today that a lot of party officials are angry that the Pennsylvania GOP did not officially endorse, didn't officially pick horses, because had they, you know, preferred candidates would have risen and others would have been excluded or some such thing. Do you buy into that? Are you disappointed the Pennsylvania GOP didn't have a more aggressive hand in who was selected and endorsed?
Well, you know, it's interesting. That narrative always gets spun as insiders and cigars and back rooms. And the reality is we go through a grueling, and you used that word before, and I think it's right, like a grueling straw poll process. So over the course of January and early February, we're crisscrossing the state as candidates, really getting vetted by the state committee members. And they are not insiders in the classic sense. These are grassroots activists who work the polls 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. in May, in November, pass out lit, put up signs. They vetted all the candidates, and I won 5 of those 6 straw polls. So heading into the convention, or heading into our winter meeting, I don't expect anything. I live very frugally on expectations, as it were. But we earned that endorsement, and I think it was taken away. Do I have any sour grapes? Nope, not at all. I know we earned it, and moreover, my sense of gratitude is really to those activists, literally from Erie to Delaware County and from Susquehanna County all the way to Fayette and Greene, corner to corner in this magnificent Commonwealth. We had all that grassroots support. So although we didn't get the endorsement because nobody did, those same activists are going to be the ones working the polls for us today. And it's ultimately why we win. And so do I think the party should have done that? Sure, I do. But that's their choice. I don't get a vote. So all I did was work my tail off, and we won 5 of the 6. And by the way, I know the press covered it. They should have even gone more in depth because they would have seen this coming, this kind of late moving around, because people want an authentic Pennsylvanian. And I think it's a huge issue, and I think it's why we do great today.
Will you support whoever wins, including yourself, obviously, tomorrow? Will you support whoever the winners are, governor, senator, Wednesday morning?
Yeah, of course. Well, first of all, we're going to win. And so, yes. But then let's put that political answer aside and talk turkey, right? Of course. I'm a almost two-decade committee man in Montgomery County. I have worked those polls, like so many of your listeners are going to do today. I've worked those polls from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. And I have been supporting great conservative candidates, lifting them up from county level to state level to federal level. And I will proudly support our nominees. And I'll not only support them, but I'll get out there and stay shoulder to shoulder and when necessary, stand in front of them and take some slings and arrows. But
do you think,
by the way,
Jeff,
that'll be me.
Sorry to interrupt you. I just I am curious because you've been standing on the stage. The last time you and I talked, some people emailed me because they, and I understand because I clarified with you and you explained yourself and you're a good guy who's honest. I asked you about the field of candidates that you've been standing on the stage with, and you spoke glowingly about Oz. I mean, to the extent that some people were kind of like, wow, that almost sounded like Jeff was endorsing Oz today. But no, you explained yourself, and I get why, because I was asking you, there are people that say that these aren't trustworthy people. Kathy Barnett is the person that media seems very obsessed with characterizing as unknown, with a lot of problematic past tweets. And I hear from certain circles that she's the least vetted. She's not ready for prime time. She's going to end up embarrassing people if they choose her today. I'm very specifically asking about Kathy now. I know you know her well.
Sure.
If she should win today, is she a problematic candidate, as people are calling her? Some people are calling her.
Well, we didn't get to know each other during the 2020 campaign because I was laser focused on the 30-day fund, and that was all I was spending time on. But I knew she was running, and I voted for her, of course, in the fall of 2020. I'm pretty sure I don't think I have a picture of it, but I'm pretty sure I had her sign on my lawn back in 2020. So, and she ran a good race in 2020. And you know what? That ultimately is the media's fault here, right? The media didn't respect any of us who weren't spending $60, $70, $80 million on TV, and they didn't spend a lot of time vetting. Now, I've been doing this for 5 years. I've been in a general election, so I've been vetted. Of course, David and Mehmet have been vetted by extension of the fact that, you know, they effectively spent $40 million each trying to kill the other one and polluted our airwaves to that effect. And Carla's been Senate confirmed. And so I think the only point that's made out there is that, you know, Kathy, quote unquote, wasn't vetted. And that's true, but that's the media's fault. That's not Kathy's fault. And I think that's I think the media is being unfair, mostly because they feel a little embarrassed that they missed the story.
Yeah,
I've been making it. They didn't cover it. But I've been making it, and Kathy's been making it for 5 months that, hey, you know, I actually don't know when Kathy moved to Pennsylvania. I know I've lived here for 49 years. And so for me, this story of a lifelong Pennsylvanian slugging it out against people who parachuted in here to run for the seat, I think is a powerful, it's a powerful narrative. The media missed it. Now they're catching up. I think they feel a little embarrassed. And now they're doing what they do. And by the way, when I say media, you know exactly what I mean. The New York Times, the Washington Post.
Of course. Is my assessment correct, Jeff? Yeah. Is it fair to say the one credit I would give Mehmet Oz is his getting into this race focused national attention on a race that would not have gotten national attention otherwise? And in doing so, I actually think, you know, if any of you are surging or benefiting now, I think you actually have Dr. Oz to thank. Truly. I is that unfair? I mean, because people talk about you guys who were on the debate stage with him, and the only reason, frankly, a lot of the nation was watching it was because Oz was on it. Otherwise, I don't think most of the nation would know what's going on here.
I think that's right. And to sound, well, let's just call it what it is. The geniuses in the national media, and I say geniuses in air quotes if we were on TV together, the geniuses in Washington, remember this, Chris, a year ago or so? I'm running this campaign. Let's see. Sean got in first, then me, then Kathy, and then Carla, and then I think it went down to Mehmet and David this year, for God's sakes, or Mehmet was the end of last year. But when we got in, when it was just me, Sean, and Kathy, the geniuses were saying, well, this is the seat most likely to fit blue, and Pennsylvania's a blue state, and blah, 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 blah. And I kept saying it's about the economy. What I said was economic opportunity. I talked about inflation in early days. I talked about educational choice. I talked about empowering parents. I talked about safe and secure communities. And what we got were crickets, right? And again, early days, to Kathy's credit, her message hasn't changed much. She's been fighting that same fight, and Sean has been fighting that same fight, and no one covered it. So to your point, these geniuses all of a sudden woke up when Oz got in. They're like, oh my gosh, there's a real seat here. And oh my gosh, inflation's at 8.5%. And let's start paying attention to working families. Chris, we talked about this a little last week. How about these media guys, 9 hours of televised debates, not one question about agriculture, our biggest industry, not one question about seniors, not really one question about the issues that affect working families, 20 questions about January 6th and the 2020 election. So the media could care less about working families and Main Street Pennsylvania, and they are now waking up to a surge of for Pennsylvanians who are coming out for Pennsylvanians coming out to support Pennsylvanians, and they wake up and they say, well, these people are crazy. And that's just nonsense. No, yes. We're talking about the issues that matter to working families because we've been on the ground for 14, 15 months. And yes, I think that's a fair point you make, that the Oz coming in focused the attention, and the race got a lot more national attention, and here we are.
I got to tell you, what you just said to me is the best closing message I've ever heard. I mean, if the Republican Party, whoever wins tomorrow, doesn't understand what you just said, that this narrative of January 6th and, you know, relitigating Trump in the past and all that totally misses the fact that we have a formula shortage and wild inflation and high gas prices and an unsecure border, and that's what people care about. And Jeff Bartos just made the case. Jeff, you are a gentleman. You've always been accessible and a great friend of the show, and I wish you nothing but good things no matter what happens today and tomorrow.
Chris, thank you. It's an honor. It really is. I love coming on. Eddie and I were talking about it before I came on. You covered when we were helping small businesses when no one else really wanted to. And look, I feel great about our chances today. Regardless of what happens tonight, tomorrow, that message, and I appreciate you saying what you just said, that is the message moving forward. We are right on the issues, and the media misses it time and again, and working families and family farms and small business owners are coming together, and we are going to have a resounding, loud victory in November. That's what people care about.
Jeff Bartos, B-A-R-T-O-S, jeffbartos.com, and he's on your ballot today, Pennsylvanians, running for Senate as a Republican. Good luck, Jeff. We'll talk again.
Thank you. All the best, my friend. God bless.
Still to come on the show today, Dave McCormick, one of Jeff Bartos' competitors, Dr. Mehmet Oz. The former president of the United States would like a moment of your time. Donald Trump will be here today. And Doug Mastriano, who wants your vote as governor today, is also scheduled to appear. Fast Eddie at air traffic control trying to make it all happen, earning his keep today. More than a few people said you deserve a raise in there, Fast Eddie. I couldn't agree more. Put together quite a show today. I told Eddie, here's the trick about a day like today and the season that we've been through. It's the day after. That's when everything goes cold. He earns his money starting tomorrow. Because that's when no one wants to talk anymore, and everyone's gone and licked their wounds. So the polls are open, Republican voters. Who's it going to be?
Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. This is Dennis Prager, middays 1 to 3. Grab a cup of coffee for the ride in. You're listening to Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle.
So this is a real text that I just got from a friend of mine. In fact, I've told you about this guy before. This is a friend of mine who lives in Beaver County, Pennsylvania. All right? He's from a Democrat family, a working-class Democrat family. He has never voted in his life until Donald Trump came along, and he cast his first vote ever as an adult for Donald Trump. He's now, after Donald Trump's presidency, become an active participant in politics, watching it. At least, anyway. But still, other than Trump, never felt enthused to go vote. And he texts me this morning, all right? And he says, and this is a real text I got moments ago from my friend in Beaver County, Pennsylvania. He says, I don't want to waste my vote today. Voting today in the primary for the first time in my life. Who do you honestly think has the best chance? I don't want to waste my vote. And he was specifically talking about the Senate race. Now, I think there are thousands and thousands of people like this in Pennsylvania at this hour thinking about who they're going to cast their vote for today. Dave McCormick hopes that you'll consider him. And we have him on the phone this morning. Mr. McCormick, it's primary day in Pennsylvania. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
I'm well. I don't think that's probably an unfamiliar story you've heard out there on the campaign trail.
Well, you need to put me in touch with your friend. I need to get. Listen. This is this question is on everybody's mind. Here's what I'm seeing. I did three big rallies yesterday. Hundreds of folks. I started in Harrisburg, where my mom and dad live. I went to my hometown, where I grew up, northeastern Pennsylvania, Bloomsburg, and had a big rally in my high school. And then I came back to Pittsburgh, where I had run a company here, and we had a huge rally that ended the day. And people are angry. They are terrified their country's slipping away. They recognize this is probably the most important Pennsylvania vote in their lifetimes, and they're asking three questions. Who shares the conservative values that I believe in and will fight for them? Who can win the election in November? The stakes are so high. This is for not just a leader in Pennsylvania, a conservative leader in the Senate. This is for whether we take back the Senate. And then finally, who can get to the Senate on day one, given the crisis we're in, and deal with these issues, have the experience where they don't need on-the-job training to deal with inflation and Ukraine and all those things. And that's the criteria. And I honestly believe I'm the best candidate based on that criteria. And that's what I'm feeling on the ground. It's a jump ball. There's 20% of the electorate that's been undecided. And I think they're going to break today. And we'll see how it goes. But I feel really good about it.
I know you know, and you just said the people are angry. They want a disruptive presence right now. They want a break in the status quo. And so I guess I asked you, maybe I've never asked you this. the outgoing Senator Pat Toomey, who's retiring, who you ultimately would replace. What's your view of Pat Toomey's job performance?
Well, listen, Pat was had a lot of great votes over the years, but he went in a different way on a couple of votes that I think were really critical. And I think his decision to vote for impeachment of President Trump was a really bad decision, and it really didn't sit well with Pennsylvanians. And I think some of his other positions he and I differ on. He and I differ on some of the free trade agenda. I think President Trump was right to push forward on a fair trade agenda. That's, I think, necessary to make sure that manufacturers and producers in Pennsylvania get a fair shake. I've seen firsthand in the McGee carpet mill in my hometown the implications of globalization and free trade. And so, Pat and I differ on many things, and I'll be a senator that I think will be a disruptive force in the following sense. I don't owe anybody anything. The only person I owe anything to is the voters of Pennsylvania. I'm a business person. I don't understand some of the crazy stuff that's going on in Washington. The $40 billion Ukraine package is a good example of things that don't make sense to me as a guy who just looks at problems open-mindedly and says, well, wait a second. This was a $33 billion proposal the president made. By the time it got to Congress, it was $40 billion. There's no hearings. There's no apparent accountability. And we got a whole series of incredible challenges here in America, including we haven't finished the wall. And there's $40 billion going out the door like it's nothing. And so that kind of common sense, practical, don't really care what the party thinks, just what do Pennsylvanians think and how do I make sense of the situation, that's the kind of leadership that I've demonstrated all my life. Somebody asked me the other day, are you America first? And I said, I've been America first my whole life. From the time I was 18, I volunteered to go to West Point and serve in the 82nd. So that's the kind of senator I'll be. And I think that's the kind of senator we need, frankly. We don't have time for somebody to show up and need on-the-job training. If you want to know what on-the-job training looks like, Chris, just look at Kamala Harris. That's on-the-job training. We can't have that. We can't have that in Pennsylvania.
Dave McCormick asking for your vote if you're a Republican today. He's running for the U.S. Senate seat vacated by Pat Toomey. Dave, I have long maintained that there is, in fact, look at this. I just see Fox and Friends flashing up. You're going on TV here at 8 o'clock, by the way. You're all over the place.
I can't get enough of you guys today.
Fox and Friends just teased you. I thought, I'd better hurry up and get the guy off the phone. But what I have said consistently is, it seems like there's such a huge number of undecideds, according to pollsters. It also seems like there are a lot of nervous voters who may feel like they're going to pick a candidate today, but they could easily change their mind. I literally could wake up tomorrow and see this going any number of ways. What do you make of that? Why is there such indecision or nervousness about this vote today for a lot of Republicans?
Well, I think they know the stakes are so high. Honestly, I mean, I think people have this unsettled sense of the country we love. If we're going to wake up and it's not going to be the same country anymore. So they recognize the stakes are so high. And they've been screwed in the past. They've picked people who haven't done what they promised. And so they see this vote as well. And there's a lot of confusing information coming in their direction. And so I got a lot of faith in Pennsylvanians. I got a lot of faith that they'll see through who's truly conservative, who believes what they say, who's authentic. I have a lot of faith in that. I also have a lot of faith that they see the big picture. They need to pick somebody who is a strong conservative that can fight for them, but that can win this doggone thing, because we cannot lose this seat, Krista. I mean, the country depends on it. And so, that's why I think that I will prevail, because I think they believe and they see that I say what I believe and I will do what I say. I think people know that about me. They may not agree with everything I'm saying, but they know that I deeply believe what I say and that I'll fight for everything I believe. I've got a whole lifetime of fighting for what I believe. And I also believe they look at the situation and say, this is the Super Bowl. So we've got in the general election. So we've got to have someone who can build a great team, who has credibility, who's been under fire. I've been under fire literally and figuratively my whole life, and someone who can bring the team and resources necessary to win, because Chuck Schumer is going to throw everything he possibly can at this seat because the stakes are so high. And then finally, this is no joke. What are we going to do about inflation? These are serious problems. What are we going to do in the Ukraine? How are we going to take on China You can't come into that question having never thought about it. I've thought about all those things. I have a point of view on all of it. All our voters, if they want to know what I think, can go look at every one of those issues. I've talked extensively about them. I walk into every room. I answer every question. And that's unique among these candidates. I answer every single question. You can agree or disagree. I say what I believe.
Dave, I asked you this the last time you were with us, and right now it's a major bone of contention with a lot of voters, and that is this, you know, sending 40-something billion to Ukraine. Rand Paul stood up in opposition to it, but boy, I am hearing a lot of anger from a lot of voters at Mitch McConnell and Republican leadership that are just kind of wanting to rubber stamp more spending to Ukraine. Would a Senator McCormick support that? I want to kind of dive into that a little more.
I would oppose it. I would 100% oppose it. I'm insulted by the way this is happening. I'm insulted by the fact that they're throwing $40 billion out the door without adequate discussion, without hearings. And I think as a practical matter, it's the wrong priority. We are in a crisis here at home. You started with the baby formula. There's the inflation crisis. There's the people pouring across our border, the illegal immigrants pouring across our border because we haven't finished the border wall. We're not adequately resourced. There are so many American challenges that for our leadership, Republican leadership, for our White House to so cavalierly want to push $40 billion out the door, I mean, it's absolute madness. So, no, I would be completely opposed. I think Rand Paul was on absolutely the right side of this, and I'd fight hard if I was in the Senate.
Do you believe that Vladimir Putin, Dave McCormick, poses sort of an existential threat, that he's one of these guys that's going to, I've heard some people describe him as, you know, Hitlerian, and that, you know, he has designs beyond Ukraine. We could see him march across Europe. Where do you come down on something like that?
No, I don't think he's that kind of, I don't think he's an existential risk. I think the biggest risk, frankly, with Putin is that because he's done such an overreach here and so miscalculated, that he's in a corner. And when a guy like Putin, and I've met Putin, when a guy like Putin is in a corner, they become unpredictable. And an unpredictable guy in a corner with nuclear weapons, or if Putin gets, there's a coup and Putin gets thrown out of power and some unstable group follows, that's where the risk of associated with Putin is. It's not that he's going to, you know, take over Europe. It's a weak leadership. It's a weak military. It's an economy that's solely dependent on oil and natural gas, which is why Biden's decision to approve Nord Stream 2 was such idiocy, such strategic failure. He's getting it handed to him in Ukraine. So no, I don't think it's an existential risk. I think it has to be handled carefully. I think we need to do that in a way that American forces don't get inadvertently dragged into war. The 82nd Airborne, my old unit, is in Poland right now. We got to be careful, and we got to let the Ukrainians fight this fight, and you know, they're doing so with a lot of courage.
Dave, I've noticed that your wife has sort of entered the campaign. Maybe she's been in it all along, but I mean, in terms of kind of a public face, I've not noticed that she's been as prominent as she's played a role in the last few weeks. She's an interesting person, and I just wondered if you'd like to speak about her a little bit.
Well, two things. I mean, the problem with campaigning with my wife is you get into this about 20 minutes and people say, hey, why isn't she running?
It is true. The ladies often make the fellas look less interesting, don't they? Yeah,
she does. She does. That's the case. She's an incredible person. Her family was born. She was born in Egypt. Her dad moved their family to Dallas when she was five, because they're Coptic Christian and they wanted to practice their Christian faith. And she grew up with nothing and worked her way through college and then ultimately has had a remarkable business career, a remarkable career in government, including being the deputy national security advisor for President Trump, who was the highest woman in the national security team. And you know, was very involved in the Middle East, the Abraham Accords, and negotiating the Abraham Accords. So she's been a remarkable role model and has been an incredible partner for me. And so we made this decision together. We feel like we've both been blessed by everything America has to offer. We think that it's the obligation of all of us to make sure we're not the generation that loses the American story and that America slips away. And so we jumped in the ring knowing that it was going to be tough, but knowing there'd be a great privilege to serve, and we prayed on it and did it together.
How has Dr. Oz, Dave McCormick, how has he changed the dynamic in this race? I was talking with Jeff Bartos a little while ago. I've been explaining, you know, the surge of Kathy Barnett. I think it's just undeniably true, and I don't. It's really not even a political statement. It's just his fame, his sheer fame, has caused national interest in a race that I don't think would have gotten national interest otherwise. But as such, it's also been kind of a disruptive force, and it's not gone the way I don't think anybody had predicted it would go. So that's sort of the wild card here. There's been a lot of national attention on a race that wouldn't have ordinarily gotten it. True?
Yeah, it was always going to be a high-profile race, but certainly I think the fact that Mehmet Oz has celebrity has introduced a new wrinkle into it. And, you know, there's different aspects of what's made it so interesting, but obviously his celebrity. But his celebrity was in basically liberal Hollywood. So he had a lifetime of statements and shows and articles and so forth, which he promoted a whole set of views that are completely inconsistent with the views he has now on whether it's, you know, abortion rights or restrictions on the Second Amendment or his support for Obamacare or his anti-fracking posture. And so part of what's making it interesting is that he's completely flip-flopped on all those positions. And so there's a real, you know, there's a real question of, wait, is this going to be a guy who is a conservative that fights for conservative values, given his entire track record in history has been on the opposite side of that? And then, of course, the fact that President Trump endorsed him and the fact that he hasn't gotten the kind of bump and rise that I think many people expected he would from that endorsement. And I think what it all comes down to is Pennsylvanians are smart. They're gritty. They're going to make their own judgments. I think their judgments are going to be to pick someone like me, who's a Pennsylvania kid who went and served our country and created jobs here in Pennsylvania. But whatever they choose, I think it'll be because they make their own judgments. And they're studying this race carefully. I think they know the stakes are high. And I think they're going to make a good choice. And I'm hopeful it's me. And I'd be privileged to take on this this great challenge. And just so if it's not clear to your listeners in Pennsylvania, I'm asking for their vote. I'm asking for their vote because I think I'll serve them well. I'm asking for their vote because I'm a patriot, and I'm asking for their vote because the stakes in saving our country couldn't be higher.
Where are you casting your vote today, Dave?
I'll be in Pittsburgh. I'm casting my vote in Pittsburgh. I'll be visiting a bunch of polling stations in Pittsburgh. My mom and dad and family, my mom and dad live in Harrisburg. They'll be here with me later tonight. And, you know, it's a great adventure, and I feel honored to have been able to run, and I'll feel honored to serve.
I know you're hopping on network on Fox here in just a little bit. It's been great getting to know you, Dave McCormick. I wish you the best of luck. It would not surprise me in the least to wake up and hear Dave McCormick is the Republican choice for Senate tomorrow, because I literally see it going any direction. It's anybody's guess. So there are a lot of people that are going to make their decision this morning or this afternoon or this evening in the ballot box. So, Dave McCormick, thanks for all your time. I hope we'll talk again. Good luck today.
If you want to save a slot for me tomorrow, Chris, I'll be available, okay?
You heard it, Fast Eddie. He's booked already. He's booked. All right. Thanks, Dave.
Hey, talk to you soon. Thank you.
Good luck. That's Dave McCormick. That's the most remarkable thing about this race. From the very beginning until today, I have absolutely no idea. There are so many people that have not made up their mind yet and could break any direction. And there are people that have said, I'm going to vote for Dr. Oz or Kathy Barnett, who are not going to. They've said it, and they're going to go in and they're going to change their mind. Again, I'm getting texts from friends. Who's the real deal? Who's a phony? Honestly, from best friends to the show spiritual advisor, folks, I have not answered that question. Not once. Not even to private personal friends. No, really. Who do you pick, Stigall? Who do you think's the real deal? I promise you, to remain true to this audience, I have not said. Because I don't think it's my place. And I have absolutely no idea how this shakes out. All I pledge to you is that tomorrow, whoever you pick as the next governor and the next senator, at least on the Republican side, to take on the Democrats this fall, that's who we talk about and that's who we focus on. There will be no beer crying. There will be no pouting. There will be no stamping of feet that the preferred candidate didn't win or so-and-so got screwed. the election's over tomorrow, and then we zero in on Democrats. That's the way this show will roll. That's my promise.
It's Mike Gallagher. Join me this morning at 9 on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Now let's get you back to Philadelphia's Morning Answer with the great Chris DeGaul.
Another text. I'm talking people off a ledge here this morning, Fast Eddie. Friends of mine texting me. What do I do? What do I do? Honest text. This just came in moments ago. Do you honestly think Kathy Barnett has a chance, or is it a wasted vote? Fast Eddie, how do you answer that? Do you honestly think Kathy Barnett has a chance, or is it just a wasted vote?
I honestly think Kathy Barnett has a chance. If the onslaught of media coverage in under a week has been any indication, and now the money spent to back her from conservative groups, yes, she has a shot.
So I said I believe anyone has a shot because Democrats are destructive and awful.
Yep.
That was my answer to my friend. And he asks again, yeah, I know all that, but is Barnett for real? Fast Eddie.
She's for real. Understand. Always.
But
always.
People say she's not vetted, texts my friend.
We have not seen anything from the left on our candidates yet. It's going to get nasty for anyone.
Here's what I said. Nobody has taken Kathy Barnett seriously until the last couple of weeks, and that's not her fault. And he said, that's right. No, I agree with that. He said, look, I'm either voting for her today or Dave McCormick. I said, well, listen, you vote your conscience. You vote how you think. But this, folks, this notion that someone is unelectable because the media says so has got to stop. And that goes for some of my brethren on Newsmax and Fox News, too. If you like a candidate and the candidate connects with you and you believe in them, the only thing you can do is listen to interviews, listen to your gut, pray, and vote. I know nobody wants to be burned. I know nobody wants to be surprised. I understand all of those feelings, but ultimately this is a personal decision between you and, however you make this decision. And it can't be wrong. There's no such thing as a wrong vote. You'll vote for who ultimately made the sale and connected with you. Dr. Oz, by the way, is coming up in just a little bit, right after the news. He would like one more opportunity, if you haven't made a decision yet, to make his pitch. And then the 45th president of the United States joins us right after Dr. Oz to tell you why, I suspect again, you should enthusiastically throw your support behind Dr. Oz for Senate today. And for good measure, I suppose he'll tell you that you should support Doug Mastriano for governor. Have you noticed that nobody wants to answer how they're voting in the other race? I've been asking that question and nobody's answering it. Doug, I think, is the only one. Doug and Kathy are the only two candidates who have answered that definitively. When I asked Doug, well, Doug said before he's supporting Kathy Barnett, which is going to be an interesting. I think I am going to try to get that in there, maybe. How does Donald Trump explain that the guy he endorses for governor does not support his Senate pick? I might try to get that in there. I don't know. The most important question that I want to ask Donald Trump, you'll have to wait for at 8:20. It'll be my first question because it's actually a bigger question than any one of these individuals. I know you're going to enjoy the interview, albeit it will be brief. He's busy today. I know we're not the only ones he's speaking to, but that's coming up at 8:20. Donald Trump. Dr. Oz.
This is WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. For more than a decade, he's been Philadelphia's destination for news, opinion, and passion.
Hey, your show is awesome.
Hi, good morning. Love you, love your staff. Thank you so much. God bless y'all.
Love you and Fast Eddie and the show.
You guys are doing a fantastic job. Thank you very much, Chris.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaul on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
It all ends today. It all comes down to this. Today's the day. Pennsylvania Republicans and Democrats, but the Republican race for Senate and for governor in Pennsylvania all boils down to today. Polls are open. You'll make your pick. And if you believe in polls, if you believe what the news media polls say, Pennsylvania Senate race could go one of at least three directions, at least. One of the names that's consistently been at the top of the list from the very beginning since he got into the race, and then President Trump ultimately endorsed him. President Trump is going to join us in just a little bit, by the way. I'm sure to speak of that endorsement further. Dr. Mehmet Oz. And he joins us again as we close in on primary day today. Dr. Oz, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me on. If I could just say one little preamble to this, I don't think it ends today. I think it starts today for us because we get to unify as a party. And the one thing Joe Biden has built back better, probably the only thing he's built back better, is the Republican Party. So I'll be proud to fight for us if I'm honored by your vote.
You know, I've never asked you this. I just out of curiosity, I know nobody likes to think of themselves as not winning, but should you not, for some reason, do you anticipate supporting whoever the Republican would be, if not you?
I'm a winner. I'm going to support whoever wins. That's what winners do. Yeah. I'm not going to call fouls. I'm going to just go in there and just do whatever I need to do to make sure our party is represented. I have fought for Pennsylvanians and Americans against powerful insiders my whole career. To do that, and by the way, COVID is the most recent example when I attacked the mandate that are meeting lists and allowed the shutdowns, and they may be coming back at us looking at these new case rates that Philadelphia is publishing. And we want to fire Fauci, though. It wasn't all his mismanagement. It was that he censored thought. He didn't let us come together. I would do the opposite as senator, unify us, allow Republican voices to be heard well, not allow the twisting of science, which happened during COVID. It's happening during the arguments around gender in, you know, first grade classes, because it's a dishonest narrative. It's the same lie that's affecting our beliefs around the Green New Deal, which cannot happen in the way it's offered. You need someone with a bold, loud voice who can say what everyone's thinking, like biologic men should not play women's sports. And if we get our voice heard and you reflect the values of Pennsylvania, pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, pro-energy, then we will become the land of plenty again. We need leaders who understand that regulations and incompetence aren't going to get us there.
Dr. Mehmet Oz, running for Senate today. He's on your ballot, Republicans. Your fame has undeniably, I've been saying this to candidates for the better part of a couple of weeks now, your fame has brought attention to this Pennsylvania primary unlike previous primaries. That's just true. Is that a curse or a blessing to you?
No, it's a blessing because people know who I am because I've been in their living room every single day for 13 years with the Dr. Oz show. And not just here, but in 100 countries around the world. So I get insights from other countries, which makes me that much prouder of what we can do in America. But it has elevated the race in part because of Pennsylvania, not just me. Pennsylvania's vote, because we're such a bellwether for the country, is one that will determine not just the soul of our beautiful Commonwealth, but the soul of the country, but also of the world. People outside of America are looking at us and say, please fix America. And when I ask them why they care so much about a country I love so dearly, they say, because we squabble here. We fight really big arguments about whether democracy is the right path forward. And we see the shining city on the hill, as Reagan described this. And we wonder, well, geez, if they got it fixed over there in America, if they've got a thriving democracy with capitalism, the best form of freedom ever designed, working, then we can do it too. So when we're fighting to make America healthy, it's not just for our domestic policy, it's also because we are the leaders of the world. And we should never forget, because with that responsibility comes great honor and also comes an opportunity for us to do things that are far beyond our borders.
I just spoke to Dave McCormick in the last half hour, Dr. Oz, and I asked him the same question. This is a crowded field, a highly qualified field, a very diverse field, and there are thousands of Pennsylvanians who at this very hour, at this very moment, are trying to decide. They really feel very unsure and undecided for whom they're going to cast their vote. How do you explain that after all these months and money spent?
Well, it's because of the money spent, Chris. There was $35 million dumped on my head, primarily from Wall Street financiers who wanted to buy a seat in Pennsylvania. And so you start to spread rumors about people and it leaves scars and it confuses. You know, my mother-in-law, who is an ordained minister, wrote a lot of the pro-life literature here in Montgomery County. I live in the house that I got married in with my wife, Lisa. Best thing I ever did, by the way, 35 years ago. but she would watch these ads accusing me of not being pro-life. So who are they talking about? And she said, Mom, you understand that they tell these lies because if they were true, you wouldn't have run. And I think that is really confused folks, but it's being figured out. The reason I'm leading in the polls is because Pennsylvanians are smart. And after a while, they say, wait a minute, he's clearly pro-life. He's clearly pro-Second Amendment because the NRA gave him their highest grade, and Ted Nugent is around them all the time. Ted Nugent's endorsed me. But also, they realize that there's something deeper and bigger there. We've got to pick the person and who, as Trump said when he endorsed me, is smart, tough, and will never let you down. And if I could just spend a second here, and this is why people, I would be honored if they would consider this when they vote for me. You've got to be smart. You've got to understand the issues, whether it's COVID or gender, arguments in grade school where you're indoctrinating children, or if it's energy policy. You've got to be smart. That's a given. Not always true, but the problem is, if you're smart, it doesn't mean you'll do the right thing. To do the right thing, you've got to be tough enough to stand tall in the face of withering criticism, which I have already been through. I've already done this for countless years on my show, and I'll do it as your elected representative in the Senate. But finally, and maybe most importantly, I will never let you down, which means when you put your head on the pillow, you know that I will do what you would have wanted me to do for the betterment of your family, your children. That's why I will serve Pennsylvania nobly as a bold voice in Washington to make sure our Pennsylvania values are heard. And if we do that, we're not going to have, to give up our summer vacation to afford to fill up our tank of gas. And we definitely will have enough baby formula.
There is a debate right now about sending aid to Ukraine. Dr. Mehmet Oz, if you were the next United States senator from Pennsylvania at this hour, as you assess it, would you vote to support sending $40 billion to Ukraine?
Not in its current form, because I don't know how the money's going to be spent, and I'm not writing a blank check. We did that during the paycheck program for COVID, which sounded great, right? Give people money because they can't go to work. Well, a lot of it, we can't even tell how much, was wasted. Billions of dollars thrown away, and we have no idea. And I can tell you, having spoken to countless people on the front lines, they did not get the money. So if I'm going to give money to Ukraine, first arm these brave soldiers and souls who are fighting against Russian aggression. Well, I'm all for that. But stop throwing money at the problem, because I don't know where that money is going to end up. But I'm sure part of it's going to end up lying in the pockets of people who are supposed to deliver the cash. And this is a recurring theme with the Democratic Party. They care about caring. We care about fixing as Republicans. So to fix something, you've got to not just throw money at it, but actually get into the weeds as a doctor and a surgeon always has to. So, for example, homelessness, right? Homelessness is not about income disparity. It's not about throwing money at it. It's about dealing with mental health issues and addiction. The border is about a cartel-run human trafficking operation. Stop funding it by throwing money at it. So the cartel now has so much extra cash, they buy narcotics, which they can then from China, ship it across the border, and 100,000 Americans died last year from that. These are the kinds of errors that are they're so obvious if you actually understand what's going down. It's one of the reasons I decided to give up my show and everything else, including my surgery, and run. But once you get it clear, the vision is there, and everyone aligns. And that's why I'm very confident that the Republican Party will unite after I win this evening, and we will be a sharp spear aimed at our Democratic opponents, so we can hold the Senate seat.
Dr. Mehmet Oz with us. He's on the ballot. He's running as a Republican for Senate today in Pennsylvania. Your read on the guy that you would replace, Pat Toomey, who's retiring and leaving this seat. How do you view his tenure?
I think Pat Toomey was a smart financial leader who understood banking and was very capable in addressing a lot of the financial sides of what Republicanism meant. And when he was elected 12 years ago, that's what Republicanism meant. I think the Republican Party has shifted dramatically. And it's become a party of the working person more than ever before. It's replaced the Democrats as doing that. If you look at income, for example, in America, if you include government transfers, payments of welfare and the like, the top fifth of the people and the bottom fifth of the people in terms of income did great over the last 15 years. The people in the middle, as often happens, paid the bill and got nothing back. They're waiting in line, their turn to get their drink of water at the well never came, with the government keep nudging them out of the way. We have to change that. That's the heart of America. Those are the Main Street workers who are doing everything they can to make ends meet and witnessing people with nothing and people with everything doing just fine while they end up having to carry the water. And I think we can do better, and we need a senator who's not a backbencher, who's going to be a bold, forward voice. Think about this. When you look around the country, there are states that you would not think would have that much of a voice. South Carolina, Arkansas, right? You've got voices from these states that are always being heard, reflecting their state's values. Pennsylvania is a top five state. We're the hidden gem of America. Number two energy producing state in the country. No one knows it. Our kids to move up, move out. We have to change that. And part of this is cultural. I was at a big school recently. The athletic director told me the biggest problem he has is the kids don't come to practice anymore. They've lost their mojo. We have to instill confidence that if you really want to thrive, this is the place to be. Pennsylvania has more resources beneath our soil and above our soil than other states. We should be seen in that capacity. And we need a senator who can voice that at the national level. I will be that person.
Mehmet Oz is with us. Donald Trump is on the way, by the way, who will undoubtedly come in to back up his endorsement of you today. People want to know, Donald Trump obviously feels this way, can he win? Everyone's looking at this. Who's going to win? Who can win? Who can win in the general? I would say, I've always said, about your, and this is not to speak ill of your character. There are lots of reasons, substantive reasons, that people can support you too. I just mean because you happen to be a famous guy that a lot of people know, I would wonder, is the calculation that you could go into a place like Philadelphia that's traditionally hostile to Republicans and maybe pick up some votes because, hey, you're the nice guy from TV we like. Is there a thought that way?
100%. 80% of questions or statements are disguised. That was one of them. That is exactly what the calculus is, and President Trump did it as well. A couple reasons. First, I've been connecting with women, and my numbers with women voters are much higher than any of my competitors because women know that I respect them. It's not that I pander to them, but that's who I've been talking to on the show for years because I realized that health is the battle of health is won by women in the home. They care about their parents, their kids, and their spouses, and they are going to fight for, like mama bears, for that. Secondly, the minority population, African-Americans, Latino populations, I speak to them on the show. It's a network TV show. So you're catering to people who often are left behind, who aren't respected. When I do these big free clinics, which I've done in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, you get people to realize you actually care for them. I was at a Baptist church that we go to with my wife sometimes. The minister, Coleman, is a member of my values council that we have on the campaign. And it's an African-American church. And it's in Willow Grove. And these guys are very conservative Christians. And the minister said, look out there. When Democrats speak to this crowd, our parishioners have to put their fingers in their ears because they don't want their kids to hear the rhetoric because it's harmful to them. It takes away their agency, their ability to envision for themselves a future that's bigger than what they're in right now. There's no agenda for prosperity with the Democratic Party. He says, what we need from you as a Republican is to show that you care. Show us that you love us, that it matters to you that our kids thrive like your kids thrive. And we want your policies because the realities of life are conservative and you are espousing those. That's what I will do. It's what I have been doing on my show. You don't have to guess I'm going to manage this. I've taken on the biggest adversaries. I've got the scars to prove it. I cannot be bought. I did not give up everything I was doing on the national stage to not do it as a senator from Pennsylvania. But those are populations, and we have obviously polling data to substantiate what I'm saying, that we will do very well with in November. For me, the big challenge is getting through the primary, which has been incredibly competitive with, as you point out, you know, noble individuals seeking the same position. But I'm the best suited of any of them to win in the general, and I win.
I'm fascinated to watch it. Anybody who says they know what's going to happen tonight is kidding themselves. It's anybody's guess. But this race all comes down to today. And Dr. Oz, we wish you the best. We appreciate your availability, taking all the questions, and people can review all our interviews online. But today's the day, and perhaps tomorrow we will. By the way, can we count on booking you should you be triumphant today? We'll schedule you now for a congratulatory interview should you win tomorrow.
I will make a house call to you whenever you want me to come by. The doctor will not keep you waiting.
Dr. Oz, good luck. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it. Good luck tonight.
DrOz.com, by the way, if you want to see my positions. But please go vote, everybody. God bless.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. President Trump would like a word with you, a moment of your time. And he's coming up any moment now. So is Doug Mastriano. 610-850-0990, our number. I got the Ultra MAGA merchandise available this morning, too. Just out at the merchandise store, ChrisStigall.com, or the link is at my Facebook page.
Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris Stigall. Download our free mobile app. Go to quicklinks at 990theanswer.com.
We are awaiting the former president of the United States, the 45th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Still to come also, Doug Mastriano running for governor today. It's primary day in Pennsylvania. Wow. You've heard from Mehmet Oz. You heard from Kathy Barnett yesterday. You heard from Dave McCormick. The conventional wisdom, it is down to a three-way race between them, that it is a virtual tie between them, that there is a massive number of undecideds out there. So it literally could break any direction. I have nervous personal friends texting me this morning wanting my counsel, which I am not offering. And I'm not being cute. I've maintained my commitment to staying out of this thing. And ultimately, whoever you pick today, tomorrow, we hoist on our shoulders collectively and we run to the fall to beat Josh Shapiro and John Fetterman. That's our goal. That's our focus. Speaking of Josh Shapiro, he is out there. We don't hear much from him. Here's what he's been saying on the campaign trail.
You know, the other side loves to cloak themselves in the blanket of freedom. They talk a good game, but they're not about freedom. It's not freedom when they get to dictate to the women of Pennsylvania how and when and under what terms they're going to start a family. It's not freedom when they tell our children what books they can read. And it sure as hell isn't freedom when they go out and say, sure, you can vote, but we get to pick the winner. That's not freedom. And that's what the other side is for. That's what the senator stands for. And that's why the stakes of this race are so high. The contrast couldn't be clearer.
So you get it. Josh Shapiro and Democrats are going to spend the rest of the year framing Republicans as book banners and interrupting women's choice in their health care. That's going to be the argument for the entire year. Will it work? Will it stick? That remains to be seen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're always honored to be joined by the 45th president of these United States, who has a deep interest in what happens here in Pennsylvania today, President Donald Trump. Mr. President, it's a thrill to have you back, sir. Good morning.
Thank you, Chris. It's great to be back. Thank you very much.
I'd like to start by asking you generally, before we get into names specifically, what does Pennsylvania mean to you if, in fact, and I know you haven't gone on record and said officially that you're running again, but let's for a second, just for argument's sake, assume there's going to be another term for Donald Trump. What does Pennsylvania mean to you, a governor and a senator who would be supportive of Donald Trump?
Right. It's a very powerful place in terms of the election. We won it, as you know, in 2016. I did much better, and I think you understand that, in 2020, where we won it by much more. And the election was just absolutely rigged and stolen. We were up by so much, it was impossible. And what they did is a disgrace to our country. I always say now borders. I used to say borders. I say now borders and elections because, you know, you can't have this. But it's very important. And you better remember, always call it the Commonwealth, because if you call it the state, I saw somebody the other day was calling it the state. You're off to a bad start when you do that, right? But the Commonwealth is very important. And I went to the Wharton School of Finance. You know, I was up there for a long time, lived there, have many friends there, and it's a great place. But it's I saved the steel industry with tariffs on China. Now they want to drop them back. You know, Obama wants to give them back. Can you imagine? That's going to be the end of the steel industry. They dump steel. Now when they dumped it, they had to pay. I took in billions and billions of dollars from China. Energy was fantastic. You have very much of an energy commonwealth. I mean, this is really, a place where tremendous energy is created, and they're trying to end it all. And, you know, they want to go to windmills. Let's go to windmills, kill all the birds, and have the most expensive energy on Earth, because that's what it is. Wind is probably the most expensive by the time you build those things and run them. It's one of the most expensive forms.
The Wall Street Journal said we're looking at potentially an energy shortage this summer, given the policies of this president. Yeah.
So we were energy independent, and we were actually becoming energy dominant. Within a short period of time, we would have been double Russia and Saudi Arabia. We were already, I brought us into the number one position, but we would have been double them within a very short period of time. We were rocking and rolling. I remember gasoline for the car was at $1.87. Now it's $6, $7, $8, and there's one place that announced today they're at $9. Okay, I mean, you can't make this up. And the sad thing, I mean, we're going to Venezuela, we're going to all of these different places, and OPEC in particular, asking them to give us energy, and we have liquid gold right under our feet more than anybody else. They ended the Anwar deal that I made, not since Ronald Reagan. You know, Reagan tried to get Anwar, and he couldn't do it. Everybody tried. They couldn't do it. I got it done. This is the biggest site probably in the world. It's in Alaska. And they actually ended up ending that. Lisa Murkowski did not help the senator, by the way. She's terrible. But they ended up knocking out Anwar. We would have had a site perhaps as big as Saudi Arabia. Think of that. And now we're going around begging people for gasoline, for gas, for oil. It's just so sad to see what's happening. And you know, when you have increases like that, that's bigger than any, if you're a middle income person or low income in particular, that's bigger than any tax increase they can give. There's no tax increase that has a worse effect on you than that.
Mr. President, Mitch McConnell and a lot of the Republicans seem to be very eager to send $40 billion to Ukraine. And I'm curious what your position is on that today, and Mitch McConnell generally, while I have you.
Well, I think he's bad news. He's a bad leader. He's only a leader because he raises money and he gives it to all these the senators, who I like. I mean, most of them I like, the Republican senators. You know, they backed me pretty damn well on the impeachment hoax, one and two.
Except Pat Toomey.
But they, well, Pat Toomey's bad news. By the way, Pat Toomey, you're so lucky to get rid of him. When we put up the tariffs, this guy did nothing but fight me on tariffs to China. I said, so, Pat, if China charges us a $100 tariff on, let's say, a car or something, any product, and we have the same product and we don't charge them, why do you like that? He said, because that's free trade. I said, really? Well, why can't we charge them $100? Because that wouldn't be free trade. I said, are you serious? There's something with him. He was one of the worst people. And, you know, he didn't run because I wouldn't endorse him. I said, there's no way I'm endorsing that guy. He was one of the worst people. He was one of the best people for China. And you'll have that with McCormick, Dave McCormick. And you're going to have it probably, well, the other one wanted a statue to Barack Hussein Obama. That was where I looked. And didn't like George Washington. So there's something going on with her. But I think Dr. Oz is going to do well.
Is your calculation with Dr. Oz, if I may, here's my belief. You can tell me if I'm wrong. Do you believe that Dr. Oz could be helpful to Donald Trump if he decides to run again here in Pennsylvania?
I think he's tough. He's very smart. He'll be helpful. And I also think he's the one that's going to win the election. You know, that's not an easy election to win. And Toomey screwed it up royally. He couldn't have been elected dog catcher. That is not an easy election to win. And I think he's, you know, he just has a certain sharpness. Remember this, it's like you've been so successful for a long time on radio. If you don't have that whatever it takes, you're not going to be there for about 2 weeks. Okay, they'll tell you, I'm sorry. Sorry about that, Chris, you're out of here, right? You know, it's a very mean business. So,
yes.
You know, Oz has been on for 18 years. I always say he's been in the bedrooms of the people that he's, you know, wants to represent. And they've liked him. You know, he's had a really successful show for 18 years. That means they like him. That means it also means that if he had scandals or anything, it comes up real fast. You know that, right? I mean, you can't do it. It doesn't work. But he's been a very popular guy, and he's very smart, and he's tough. In a certain way, he's very tough. And I've known him for a long time, and I think he'll be great. You know, it's a crazy election. But, you know, when I backed J.D. Vance, he was way behind, and he went up like a rocket ship. So I hope that's going to happen with us.
Yeah, you've had tremendous success in your endorsements. If I could shift, your time is short. So if I could shift to governor for a moment, you'd stayed out of that. The only statement you'd issued until last weekend was not Bill McSwain. You encouraged Republicans not to vote for Bill McSwain. Then you endorsed Doug Mastriano this weekend.
Well, Bill McSwain was a U.S. attorney, and we went to him with massive proof, and he was all excited. He was all excited. And then the next day they called, and he wasn't available. And then they called and called and called. They could never get him back on the phone. He was told probably by Barr, who was afraid of being impeached. He didn't want to be impeached. How do you not get impeached? Don't go after the election, right? So he was told by Barr not to do it, and he wrote a letter to that effect. But that doesn't help. The fact is he didn't do it. I don't want to use the word coward, but perhaps he was a coward. But you had to see, when we presented evidence to him, he was all excited. And the next day, it was like he was told not to do it. And I believe that. He was told, but he should have, I think he should have done it. You know, we're talking about the country. But Barr didn't want him to do it because Barr didn't want to be impeached. He thought he was going to be impeached and held in contempt. They don't even know for what. So I was very disappointed with Bill. I was very disappointed with Bill McSwain.
Now, you know, Lou Barletta is in.
Let that be known.
Lou Barletta is in this race, and I know there were some Republicans that were a little confused that maybe you didn't take a harder look at Lou Barletta.
Well, I know Lou, and I like Lou. The problem with Lou is he ran a very bad race the last time. I thought he should have won that race. And he was a little missing in action, and it was not a successful race. You know what I'm talking about. And, it wasn't like rigged, stolen, all of the different things. I mean, he just didn't run a good race.
No.
And he got beaten pretty badly. And I think that Mastriano has a very big base. He's been very loyal on election integrity and a lot of different things on crime. He wants to stop crime. But he has a base. And, you know, when I hear this Shapiro saying, oh, we're dying to run against him, that's just misinformation or disinformation, as they call it. He doesn't want to run against. The last person he wants to run against is Mastriano, because Mastriano has a big base, whereas these other guys have no base. You know, there is no base. They're just guys. But people like him. So I think that Josh Shapiro is just putting out false information. I said that. I call him the weasel, because he's like a weasel. And he was horrible with respect to the election. He didn't do anything. He was another one. But he was a Democrat, so at least you can understand it. But he was horrible. That election was
so bad in
Pennsylvania.
I'll let you go on this question, because I know you got to run. The January 6th stuff in general, should Republicans be afraid of that? Because that seems like what Democrats want to talk about. January 6th.
Well, it is. And you know that I offered 10,000 soldiers. I said 10,000 soldiers or January 3rd. And Nancy Pelosi turned it down. Now, if they wouldn't have turned it down, to me, that's such a big thing. And if they wouldn't have turned it down, you wouldn't have had January 6th, as we say. But Nancy Pelosi didn't like the look. And we offered 10,000 soldiers plus if they needed it. You wouldn't have even needed 1,000. But we had 10,000 soldiers. We offered it to her. She didn't want it. And that alone makes it the January 6th very, very unfair. We have no representatives. We have Liz Cheney, who's a disaster, and you have Kinzinger, who's a disaster. We have no representatives. It's a very unfair thing. So I can't exactly tell you, but I think most people know it's a scam, just another scam, a Russia deal. It's too bad, because all of the time that gets wasted on this stuff, instead of making our country great again, the time that's wasted. But think of it. I offered 10,000 soldiers and they turned it down. I'm not going to be doing that if I wanted something to happen, nor would anybody else. So it's a very, very sad situation that we're devoting that kind of time, energy, and money instead of getting our country rolling again, because we really had it rolling, Chris, as you know. We had it rolling well.
Should voters feel nervous about Pennsylvania voting this year, Mr. President? Are you nervous about Pennsylvania integrity?
I think it's the biggest problem. I think it's a very corrupt election process that takes place in Pennsylvania, and a lot of people do. I had a pollster that says you're going to win Pennsylvania. I just can't tell about how much they're going to cheat this year. This was before the election. And I said, what do you mean? He said, one of the most dishonest. They cheat like crazy. So, yes, they have to be worried about it.
Should that preclude people from voting, though?
I can't tell you that. I'm just saying you have to. I mean, I'd like to tell you, no, there's no problem. Probably that's a better answer from the standpoint of, you know, being politically correct, right?
But I mean, should people feel discouraged in voting, Mr. President? Should people just not vote because they feel like it's rigged?
No, they have to go. The one thing is, if you swamp, but even that, look, I think I swamped them in Pennsylvania. You know, if you look at like at 10 o'clock in the evening, I was up by, I would have said, an insurmountable amount of votes with 73% of the vote in. I was up by, you know, so many votes, you couldn't have lost it, I felt. And then all of a sudden, everything closed down and then we were tied, and then it started drifting away. It was just nonsense, and people know it. No, look, we have to talk about it, Chris, because it's a big problem. And maybe a little bit less so today, although maybe they'll pick their favorite candidate. You'll find out who they really did want. But no, it's a very corrupt, and it's known as being very corrupt. Philadelphia, and to a lesser extent Pittsburgh, but Philadelphia is is just a, has been for totally corrupt for years.
Yes.
So it's not
Mr. President,
good.
It's
you know,
been
I'd like to tell you, I'd like to tell you every vote counts and it should be that way, but you know, we gotta, but the more we win by, the harder it is for them to cheat. Let's put it that way.
You'll support, I assume, whoever voters pick today. I know you have Mehmet Oz and Doug Mastriano as your picks today. I assume you'll support anybody who wins, if it's not them.
I will. I'll support anybody. But, I mean, the Democrats, the other side, has just terrible, terrible people. So the answer is yes.
Nobody's
asked
you for your time
that
today.
Question yet. Chris, nobody's
asked you that yet, really?
Very interesting. I have never been asked that question. I can't believe it. It's the only question. Thank you. It gives me a little... It's like, you know, it's nice to have to think on my feet a little bit. That's the first time that question's been asked. And that's probably one of the most basic, good questions you can ask, right? The answer is yes.
Mr. President, it's always an honor. Thank you for your time this morning, sir.
Thank you, Chris. It's my honor. Thank you very much. Bye.
The telephone number, 610-850-0990. 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. So we go right from... President Trump to his endorsed candidate for governor today on your ballot. Today is primary day in Pennsylvania. Doug Mastriano, state senator from the 33rd district and running for governor now. Well, there you have it. It doesn't get bigger than an endorsement from that guy, does it, Doug? Welcome back.
Wow, Chris, congratulations. What a great show this morning. That is fantastic.
You know, I didn't ask him this because I didn't want him to put him in the position of speaking for you, but I'll ask this of you again. What's always been interesting about you and him is that while he's endorsed you, he endorsed a different guy for Senate than the one you endorse. What do you make of that? He picks Oz, you pick Barnett.
Well, Donald Trump and I talked about that Thursday when he called me up in Hazleton to let me know that he was going to get behind me. You know, we talked about it. You know, he said, "Hey, tell me about Kathy." And I said, "You know, Mr. President, you know, I endorsed her back in January before you were involved in a race, before Oz was even on the screen here." And he goes, that's fine. And you know, he knew that. And I also explained to him that we've known Kathy since, I think, 2018 or so. So we have a friendship. I told him about the heartbeat bill and how Kathy was my keynote speaker in Harrisburg, and that was the first time she publicly discussed her conception and rape when her mom was 11, and that. So it's all right. It's all good. But you know, obviously today we're focused on this big gubernatorial race, and brother, it's been a long haul, but it's upon us today. So we're really excited.
Doug, why is it that you are the one, I mean, even more so than Kathy. Kathy's getting it a little bit now, but you're the guy that from the very beginning, according to the polls, is sort of the breakaway favorite, according to polls. I'm not editorializing, it's just what the data says, that you've been leading consistently in polls by double digits. And yet, I keep reading that the party, the GOP in Pennsylvania, and all the people running against you are freaked out and mad and ticked off the party didn't officially endorse, and something should have been done about you, and the candidates are conspiring to take you out. What is the freak out about you, Doug Mastriano?
Hey, Chris, it's really strange. I mean, you're probably like me, kind of scratching your head like, this is really weird. If what we're reading is true, and I have no reason not to doubt it, these are grown men having tantrums. And so what is it about? And obviously some of this is speculation here, but you know, I do speculate and wonder if this is really a rift between an elite establishment clique. Let me explain that. There's obviously a large body of folks in Harrisburg that make a lot of money off of these. And we've seen that with, you know, tens of millions of dollars spent, not just in the Senate race, but also, you know, in the race for governor. We see these lobbyist groups come in spending, according to the Inquirer, $13 million, you know, a good chunk of that is anti-Doug ads blitzing the state. And are they perceiving my nomination as a threat to their power, or is this just showing that they're low-talent, overpaid people? I mean, I just don't know. But, you know, in the end, I think it is about control and power because, you know, Chris, and you've watched this rise here over the past 2 years. I'm not new to your show, and I know we're not friends, we haven't personally met, but you've been tracking us here. We really do have a statewide movement, and you know, many of the same folks that you read about in the Inquirer, you know, complaining, they ask privately to some of my friends even, you know, how does Doug Mastriano draw these massive crowds in Erie and in Pittsburgh and elsewhere? And it's because we have actually connected with the people. You know, we've been standing with the people, often alone, while they sit aside. And so I guess it's a populist grassroots movement that has them concerned. If they love the Constitution and our state, there's nothing to be worried about. I'm going to fight and defend freedom, as they did all my life in the Army. So that's why I really don't get it. I'm just a normal, average guy who just loves the country like so many of us do.
Hey, Doug, do you have a strategy in terms of dealing with media? And I ask because it's funny. I was watching over the weekend a bunch of media outlets, national particularly, complaining that they couldn't get access to you and your events. Are you strategically keeping some at arm's length or not talking to certain people? And if so, why?
Yeah, what's really strange about them, I don't know why they did not register in advance. They just show up. And there have been problems in the past with other candidates, with media just showing up, you know, and kind of, you know, storming events, what have you. Why didn't they register and just, you know, get credentialed as most people do? Donald Trump does that. You know, any Democrat that draws a crowd does that as well. So I just don't get it. I think they're just making up a story that they demand to have to come and go. When I have these events here, I have to have security. We have to register people because of the world we live in, sadly. And I don't know why they just won't abide by the same rules everyone else has to do. Just register. Call us up. Say, hey, we'd like to attend the event. What do we have to do to get registered? Here's our credentials. And that's it. But it's bizarre. They're acting like spoiled children. They need to comply and just get in line and do the right thing.
Doug Mastriano is on your ballot today, running for governor. Josh Shapiro, everybody obviously on the Republican side, I hope, wants to beat Josh Shapiro. And then the question is always when voters are trying to decide who can do it, who's best suited to do it. He's going to have a tremendous amount of money, Doug. Can you raise the kind of money he has to remain competitive?
I mean, that question is yet to be answered. Let me kind of bend it in a different direction here. So we had Bill McSwain backed at least by $13 million. That's what the Inquirer said. I think actually my sources said $15 million from that one lobbyist group, you know, kind of dark money. And then, of course, he raised a couple million. So he comes in with maybe, you know, $17, $18 million. And a guy, me, who raised about $2 million and has just double digits over him, 20, 30%. I don't even know what it is, but 30% over him. I mean, so is it about the money or is it about the message? So money does help, but let me add a couple things here. So Josh Shapiro, interesting character. He's been our attorney general. You know, he did nothing when we raised questions about voting integrity in my capacity as a senator, exercising my constitutional oversight. You know, he did nothing with the elder care facilities when, of course, Levine's failed policy sent the sick back into homes. We talked about this on your show, you know, years ago. And it was a plague. Thousands died. And he's standing aside in the midst of all these policies. He's a guardian defender of the Democrat Party and not the people of Pennsylvania. He's got a very weak message. The Inquirer, you know, his biggest fan is the Inquirer. Nothing but adoration pieces there. One of the writers there, of course, concerned, I think, 2 months ago in an article that it was inferred that if he faces me, Josh has never really been vetted. And that's true. But tell me a race he really faced somebody that was tough, you know, that really took him on.
And so I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that is such an important point. Everybody that's going on and on and on about vetting Republicans can we trust this Republican and will this Republican melt down? What scrutiny has Josh Shapiro received? Zip is the answer. That's exactly right.
Yeah, and I was surprised the Inquirer pointed that out. They were in a bit of panic mode. This is me reading into it. They didn't say explicitly Doug Mastriano, but they've waged a war on me, the Inquirer, pretty hard over the past several months. And I'm not whining about it. I'm a soldier. You know, I live with it. I deal with it. But I was surprised that they actually turned on Josh. Like, can he beat the Republican? And he's very vulnerable because this is the worst economy we've had since Jimmy Carter, in my estimation. Inflation's at an all-time high. People now have to choose between fuel and food or medicine. It's really tough to make ends meet. And you got Josh Shapiro here is going to be a continuation of Wolf's policies. And by inference, of course, that's affected by Biden's lack of popularity. So I think we have a golden opportunity. So Republicans, you know, whether you like Doug Mastriano or not is irrelevant. We have to beat Josh Shapiro. For any Republican that's out there, you know, can Doug beat Josh Shapiro in the general election? Well, here's how it works. And I'm going to say this slow so the lobbyists in Harrisburg can understand this. The way it works is that in order for a Republican to win the general election, he has to first win the primary. And so whoever wins the primary is going to be the guy that's going to have to win a general election. And that's going to be me. So we need to coalesce around me. I was asked, you know, several times on the campaign trail, you know, will you back the winner of the primary? Of course, I always took it as they're kind of inferring that I wasn't going to win the primary. And, you know, my position was like, well, I hope you'll back me when I win it. So Republicans, this is our time. This is our golden opportunity to take the governor back, to have a governor that's going to be, you know, as good. My goal is to be better than DeSantis and bring prosperity and freedom back to Pennsylvania. I have a clear vision for that. It's on my page and people can read it, because I don't run on bumper stickers here. I'm a strategist. I'm a planner. And we have a way ahead of how to beat Josh Shapiro, but we got to get together to do this.
I just asked President Trump, and I'll close with this, Doug Mastriano. You've been the guy that's been most associated with the 2020 election, the fraudulent 2020 election, getting to the bottom of that election. And I asked President Trump, I don't know if you heard it or not, you know, should people feel discouraged? Has it been fixed? He says no. Trump said it has not been fixed. He's very deeply worried. And I don't know. I wouldn't say he gave the most definitive answer about whether people should continue to feel discouraged and even show up to vote. I think there are people, I don't know how many, I hope not many, who just say, I'm not going to vote. I think the system's rigged and it doesn't matter anymore. What would you say about that?
I'd like to, you know, thank you. You asked him some good questions there. And I did listen to the program. I mean, well done. So obviously I've been on the forefront of voting integrity here since my hearing on November 25th, 2020. Let me address it this way. I've heard people on the campaign trail, Doug, you know, I support you, but my vote doesn't count, so I'm not going to waste my time. You know, if you really say that and believe that and don't vote, guess what? Your vote won't count. I know we have a lot of problems in Pennsylvania. And by God, I'm as frustrated as anyone out there. I've suffered consequences for trying to get a forensic investigation in the state. And we talked about this before. And you have to get out the vote. If you love your country, you got to vote today. Please vote. Make plans to vote. And here's how we have a model. Virginia was in a bad way this past year. They were about to lose their First and Second Amendment freedoms. But thank God the people of Virginia did not cower and whimper away saying, oh, my vote doesn't count, I'm not going to care, and just kind of, you know, roll into the sunset. They showed up. The Republicans showed up this past year in overwhelming numbers. They rolled up their sleeves and got to work, too. They manned 95% of the polls, and they won the governorship and two other major statewide seats. That's how we do it.
Doug Mastriano is on your ballot today. He's running for governor for the Republican nomination. Thanks for your time today, Doug. If you are successful tonight, I hope maybe we could have you back on tomorrow to congratulate you if you're free and available and
honored.
Not exhausted.
I would be honored. I'll be on, and thank you for having me one more time, Chris. Thank you.
Good luck today. That's Doug Mastriano, state senator from Pennsylvania's fighting 33rd. It's all up to you now. 610-850-0990. Phew!
Hey, take us with you on your phone. Download our free mobile app now at 990theanswer.com.
Look who it is. She's always making time. It's Kathy Barnett. We can't close out a show on primary election day without talking with Kathy Barnett, running for Senate as a Republican on your ballot. Ms. Barnett, close us out today.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much, Chris, for squeezing me in. I just wanted to just pop my head in and say I am so grateful to Pennsylvania. I'm so grateful to you, Chris, and your unbiased reporting. I'm so excited about today.
Well, I tell you what, you are easily the most talked about person that everybody says they didn't know until the last couple of weeks. And we've known you for 2 years, so we found that all very funny.
Yes, I know. That's okay. Everyone's saying my name. I love it. I could not have gotten this kind of name ID without all the pouncing, and it allowed people to go out and look for the truth for themselves. And I'm so encouraged by all of the encouragement. So thank you guys so much. Let's go do this. I'm so excited, Pennsylvania.
Listen, you're to be commended. I just whatever happens, there is no doubt it is just sheer shoe leather and hard work and commitment to this race that you got to this place. And I don't care what anybody says or what anybody thinks or how anybody votes. Nobody can take from you what you managed to accomplish up against a couple other folks who were very, very, very well funded. So you're to be congratulated.
Yeah.
I wish you the best of luck, Kathy Barnett.
Thank you so much. Me, my team, and Pennsylvanians. This story is about you guys as well. So thank you so much, Chris.
I assume we'll be able to book you if you're the winner tonight. We'll be able to book you tomorrow morning to talk about the fall, huh?
Absolutely. Chris, you know to call Bob, and whenever you say come, I will come. Thank you guys so much. Pennsylvania, here we go. Let's go do this.
There she is. She's Kathy Barnett. And ladies and gentlemen, you just heard from the, well, you heard from four Senate candidates in one show and a former president of the United States. I don't know what more I can do for you.
This is WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.